You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the show with Clayton McKee. That would be me, your humble host. We are coming to you live from the Q-Talk America Studios in the heart of Central Phoenix and what I like to call the Q-Talk Plaza. We come to you live each and every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Phoenix time. If you're outside of the Phoenix, Arizona area, figure out how the fuck time it is that we come on where you live. And before we get too far into the show, I'd like to remind you, our listeners, viewers, or however you self-identify, that we broadcast all 3 hours live on Tuesday nights and then rebroadcast the first 2 hours Saturday mornings. If you choose to suffer through the third hour on your own, you may do so by listening on demand from QTalkAmerica.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes or download directly from our show page on QTalk America. Also, you can find us and like us on Facebook by simply searching for The Show with Clayton McKee. And as we jump into the fun for this week's show, please permit me to introduce to you our cast of characters, a woman who's taken the past couple of weeks off because, well, she has a life. It's Katie June.
Hi.
A friend and sister who's working her way through all the fun new notifications that Facebook is throwing her way. Marnie Ryer.
Hello. How are you, brother?
That's all good, girl. And a friend and waitress who's just returned from a whirlwind trip to the Big Apple. Ladies and gentlemen, Missy Al Perkins.
I did. I closed every show in the big city.
You were going to everything you could get your scalp tickets to.
But yeah, my dirty hands on.
She's very busy. Unscrew.
I'm a dirty ape.
And screw that and then lift. Lift and separate. Oh.
This is all very awkward.
There we go.
There we go. I don't know. What kind of
and
fucking midget?
And separate.
There were short people in the studio prior to this.
With tiny little heads.
I don't know what's going on. You can make that. You can do this, Marnie. Do this. Take these down. Take those down. Unscrew your hand.
Well, I will let you know that I have to just start with this. I took probably a grand total of 20 pictures on this trip, which is the most pictures I think I've ever taken in my
he
life.
He did. I was proud
combined.
Of him. I was
yes.
proud of him.
I did. I'll count them later when I find the phone amidst all the food and drinks that are going on again. Here on the new cooking
my
show.
My gosh, are we having a scurvy
He's
outbreak?
You
brought
picnic.
Citrus. He has an orange in the studio.
I know. I've got a little sniffling. I don't want to turn into a cold. So I decided.
Why do we have good stuff?
But all over Times Square now, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because Disney has like invaded New York and put their roots in everything. But now Elmo and the Cookie Monster and the flying guy and the cowboy from Toy Story are everywhere getting their pictures taken.
Oh.
And but the thing is because it's not Disney World, so he, you know, that the dead guy doesn't have his hands all over everything.
Right.
The Cookie Monster took off his head and lit up a cigarette.
Stop it.
In his defense,
was he at least hidden?
Yeah,
sort
he was
of
slightly down 48th Street. But children still walk down 48th Street. It's not like they make them stay in a little Times Square.
No kids can go over there.
Took the fucking head up and just lit up. I'm like, God bless you, sir.
I'm on nicotine.
Yeah. Yeah, he has to do something to keep that crazy
nicotine
voice.
Nicotine is good enough for me.
Right, yeah, he's over the broccoli and carrot shit that Michelle Obama's making him do.
Yeah, and was feeling very trademarked, but there was no talking. And I don't know, I know in Disney, and now I don't remember. Like,
the characters do
no,
not
they
talk.
Don't talk.
Okay, so I was say, because only the characters that I like, I don't think talk. Like,
no.
No,
I've never run into Pluto
original,
in real life.
The original characters,
like,
they do not talk.
Is there any time where Pluto might utter a
no.
word?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because he's a dog.
The princesses.
The princess, right. The princess
no,
is about,
like, any in a, real in a, live
in
characters.
A movie or cartoon, does Pluto ever speak?
Oh, absolutely. Talks all the time. Good. She talks all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. They
Again,
all,
I
no,
have no point of reference.
Wait,
this.
Pluto does? I thought that was
oh,
Goofy.
No. I think you said Goofy. I'm terribly sorry. Pluto,
I don't think
no.
Pluto talks.
Pluto the
at
dog
all.
Barks okay. like a dog. That's
yeah.
about all he does and wags
okay,
his
and
tail.
And I have to quote Stand By Me. Pluto's a dog, but what the fuck is Goofy?
That's actually
yep.
such a
Stand
good question.
By Me. What a perfect
I'm going to.
Thank you, Stand By Me.
He's a mouse.
Donald's a duck. Pluto's a dog.
Duck.
What the fuck is Goofy?
Well, little known fact, there was a nuclear facility close to Disney. Gone
so
terribly wrong.
Why
happens.
Did Mickey leave Minnie? She was
fucking
goofy.
Goofy.
I love that joke.
Thank you. And first bad joke of the year. Well, maybe the second. Yeah. If you listen to last week's show.
No, that was all bad. All the last hour.
That's yeah. where we hit. The week before, it was maudlin with both feet on the gas.
Yeah.
Last week, it was just drunk. Full tilt.
Yeah, both feet
balls
just
to
going.
The walls, oh. Take off the seatbelt. Just see what a crash test dummy feels like.
I'm just
listen in, won't you?
You all yes. that binging. What was that?
There was a study out today that said that was actually usually binge drinking is all put on men. Like they say that really men have the mid. Apparently, studies are coming out that women are actually. They're coming up in numbers. Not that that's a goal you really want to aspire to, but they're coming up in numbers about binge drinking.
There it goes. Oh, I got it.
You did. Okay, got it.
I got it.
He always does that with his iPad.
I got it.
Would you like us to pause for a moment while you?
Nope, got it.
Okay,
back.
Got it.
Back.
He's got it.
Whoa, Tupper's still alive.
Hi, Tupper. I got to refresh my
thing. Every week
we'd
love to see you.
I got to refresh my
thing. Oh, because of my recent bedtime tragedy.
No, there's Harrison. Your bedtime period.
My recent bed.
What?
I have to redo my whole iPad.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a tragic week for Al. He dropped his iPad and had to get a new one. Thank God for insurance.
I was sleeping with David Pakman, my new boyfriend, soon-to-be husband.
Wait a minute.
We were enjoying a late-night session in my bed.
Is she real?
I fell asleep and rolled over, and the damn fucking thing crashed on
happens.
The... Turns out when these things meet the beautiful tile floor of the Stone Cold Palace...
Uh-huh.
They die.
They die a horrible
Stone Cold
death.
Stone Palace wins.
Yeah.
Harrison came to visit, and she's like, your house is fucking cold. I'm like, I don't call it the Valley Forge of the West for no reason. The Stone Cold Palace isn't meant to be. It's a warning. It's meant to say, turn
it's
back.
It's stone ass cold.
Yeah,
I forgot to post the pictures. Harrison was, if you were listening last week, and I can't imagine why you weren't.
Yeah.
Harrison Darling was our visitor, filling in for Katie June last week, all the way from Los Angeles, California. She rode a charming green bicycle that Al has provided for her, and she came. Her ensemble was coordinated with the bike. It was very cute. It was like a Muppet.
She looked fabulous.
It was like a Muppet. And I haven't posted those pictures yet. I should really do that. I'm starting to feel like Marnie. I post pictures months after that they're done. Katie, I'll be happy to show you. Oh, look at this, Katie. You'll love this. Oh, and this is, okay, that's Harrison. And this is really good for the listeners.
He is cute and fun.
And then this is Harrison with Marnie photobombing.
Well, see, now we have to put these on the Q-Talk page, not on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Well, I can do it to both.
We never do. Like,
no.
There's nothing.
Harrison,
every time I go to the
Q-Talk
page, there's nothing on there. It's like a barren wait. It's like the Stone Cold Palace.
Of Facebook.
Of the internet. Like, we need to, because the only way people are going to see it is if they're friends with us. So they need to go and, you know, Google gay drunk people.
Oh, we'll pop up.
Have fun pictures of us show up, right.
Yeah. It's funny, though, now that the show, we're in approaching, 9 months of this show, when you Google your name, I don't know if anybody has done that since we've been on the air, all kinds of new pictures show up with you, related to you and I and all of us.
Oh,
yeah. It's very fun. If you haven't Googled yourself, you should always do so.
Luckily, mine's always an alias.
Oh, yes, of course it is.
Because luckily, my real name is not Missy Al or Al T. Perkins. So
right. Neither one. Yes. All of a sudden, Katie's now trying to figure out who the fuck she's sitting across in the studio.
I feel I feel somehow violated a little bit. And I'm not totally sure.
And not in a warm, loving way either, Katie.
Kind of like the Stone Cold Palace.
That's just because she's bitter because she spent so much time looking up the Man Network.
I did. Yeah.
She's still mad that she can't get that time.
I forgot about that. Yeah. She thought that was real.
I really wanted to check it out.
Yeah, the Missy Al Network is not real. So looking for the Man Network. No. Al, what are you trying to do? Soak vodka out of a stir.
Frozen vodka.
Goddamn vodka's frozen.
Well, Katie June, my dear, you have been without, or we have been without you. You have been without us because you really didn't care. You've been gone for a couple weeks.
I have.
You went skiing. You went somewhere else. I don't know what all you've been doing.
I went skiing in Durango, Colorado, which was lovely. And I am just a kind of a really good skier, actually. So.
Oh, there's nothing like being modest right out of the gate.
Do we have a horn?
Oh, wait,
she already did.
Oh, let's do a drum roll. And there we go. Katie June. Very nice.
Oh, and a rim shot at the end.
We like that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So it was a really good trip, you know, and also since I've been working out, surprising, I'm better. It's filtered around to all areas of my life, and I'm a much better skier. I had a wonderful time. I could go day after day after day, and it was fun. And my daughter loves the snow. Palmer played. I know, thank God, because she is enrolling in ski classes next year. So it's a good thing she likes the snow.
They have
a
lot of those in Phoenix, do they?
They do not.
Okay, I'm thinking.
But thank goodness they have them in Colorado.
Those little fuckers on the mountain.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they put you to shame. There's like a 2-year-old coming down on a snowboard, like one leg up, you know, pissing, reading, playing an iPad. Fuckers.
Yes, that's what I said. The whole time I'm on the lift with my sister going, those little shits, because they are... Now, I'm good staying kind of in my realm, right? So I do blues. I don't go in the trees. I can take very...
Sonny Bono would recommend you don't go to the trees.
And a Kennedy.
And the Richardson gal.
She didn't Natasha. Hit a tree, though. She was taking a lesson and fell back.
She just died.
She just died.
She just died.
Sad.
See, now the other guys,
talking die head
they just didn't see a tree.
Right. So, yeah. Really. But those little kids, they, like, okay, so there was this kid coming up in front of me. I was on the farthest lift, if anyone's familiar with Durango, Colorado, on lift 8, so way over on the end, and it takes you up, and almost all of the runs coming down from lift 8 are blacks. There's a few blues, which is what I do. I'm not a black.
By the way, we're not being racial. These are actually.
Do the colors.
There's... Okay, I'm sorry. So green is
what I would do.
Super most basic, but still really, really fun.
The bunny hill or no?
The bunny hill's below green.
Oh, yeah. I'm bunny hill.
Just bunny hill.
I'm bunny hill.
So got it. Bunny hill's learning.
I loved him on the BBC.
Greens
bunny
are,
hill.
Bunny hill. Oh,
greens are nice and easy. Blues are a little more advanced, so you go a little more vertical. You might have some moguls, which are the bumps. You might have, you know, they're a little faster runs. And then blacks are really vertical.
Certain death.
Yes.
Certain death.
For
and
us.
You watch them. Like, you'll see them just come down, like, as you stand at the lodge near the liquor.
Right.
But they do provide liquor in the middle of the mountain, too.
Thank God for that, because I spent a lot of time.
The powder house.
I love
house.
It. Powder yeah, house, yep. Totally.
Drank there. And so you stand hashtag. There, and you watch these people come down the end of the black run, and they are just jumping and going, like, side to side. You know, I was making little tiny, you know, what do they call, pizza wedges and all this shit, trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
And that's how they got me up to the top, was they told me that there was a
liquor?
Bar somewhere
okay,
up there.
Okay, right, I'm
there
sure.
Is. So but it's a bitch to get to.
Yeah, so we went down, like, halfway, and they're like, you can continue down to the bottom, or here's the lift that will take us up to the trail that will bring us down to the vodka. So I'm like, well, I'm still alive.
I think
so.
That's a good way to
you know,
sell
it. Actually, now that I'm, again, a little slightly more fit, I used to do one run, stop for a beer. One run, maybe two, stop for a beer. One run, stop
we
for a beer.
We do that on Sundays.
So
just
now,
in Central Phoenix.
Yeah, so now it was. I had more ski time. It was more enjoyable. But there was this girl. So my sister and I are sitting in the chairlift. And Mom and Dad, if you're listening, close your ears now. Because my sister brings the Mary Jane with us on the ski slope. Right? Is that like a really old school way of saying? My mom calls it the dope.
It's like
dope.
I almost felt like you were trying to spell a dirty word in front of your mom. S H I T
Jane.
Yeah.
Like, do you believe her name is really Mary J. Blige?
Yeah.
Or is that?
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
She's the shit.
You're not really Al T. Perkins, so what the fuck?
Yeah.
You could be Mary Jane Perkins.
Anything is possible.
But so we were, you know, token it up a little bit on the ski lift.
Oh.
And my sister says in front of me, look at that little girl's skis. And they're the ones where the heels come up off the back of the skis. And we're shit talking. We're like, oh, that little bitch, she's so much better than we are. And she, like, looks cool. And she's, like, riding with a couple of cool snowboarders. She's just so cool. So we get off the lift, and this little slut goes flying off the chair, does, like, a 180 spin in the air, and dives into a huge patch of trees going down the side of these double black diamond mountains. What? And she was like maybe 10. So, yeah. So I guess I should rephrase. I'm good for my little weird 32-year-old pot-smoking, beer-drinking self.
And that's good. Hey.
What's her name? Piper? What wasn't that the Piper
I met her.
Parabo or something?
No.
That's an actress.
But you're thinking of Peekaboo Street.
Peekaboo Street.
Mm. Yeah.
Who I met. Things. Damn, we're back to the PP.
When did you
I met her at a WNBA women's, you know, they do like a women's
shocking
game. And she was the guest speaker, so yeah, we went early. Nice. I was excited. Yeah.
Precious.
She's, yeah, I she's mean, cool. Aside from the little injury on the way out of that town, everything about it was just idyllic.
Yeah.
I mean, it seriously was like Courier Knives. And
it's,
they had good snow, because I friended them, so now they send me pictures. It's like, just to keep the PTSD going.
Right?
And I like to show people in the summer, like, look at all the fun you can have here in the summer when it's dry.
Yeah. Well, so it was stunning. It snowed while we were there for a couple of days. We took Palmer out, and my parents have a nice, you know, sloping driveway, so we were riding on the old school wooden and metal sled, and we were making snow angels, and
I love snow angels.
It was fun. Our New Year's, I am the biggest baby on earth, and I probably because I have a baby, but we were lighting fireworks
sparklers?
And sparklers.
Right.
We did little ground fireworks.
I can't even imagine how pretty sparklers would be in the snow.
Oh, it was very nice. It was cold, but it was fun. We drank shitty champagne and lit our sparklers.
So I do not agree with that.
Shitty champagne.
That was not intentional.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you have a
job. Thanks, Dad, also for buying that. And
oh my god! And it was
bad.
Gifted to you.
It was a gift. It was bad. But I was in bed by 9 o'clock. I fell asleep on the couch to Gone with the Wind, which is the first time I've watched it. It's good.
Oh.
And in bed at 9.
Wow.
I know.
I'm pretty sure my mom made it up later than you did.
Most people.
Right.
Children
right.
made it later.
Well, at least
young
like
children.
At least in like Australia they'd already rung in the New Year. So you at least were on the earth when it rang in. So we're pretty good at that.
I didn't even make
the
New
York. Did you catch all of Gone with the Wind?
Okay, we watched it in segments. My mom drinks a lot of wine and said that it was her she had multiple dying wishes over the weekend.
Nobody gets out alive in any of these stories. I don't know why.
I know, right? It's not good actually. And no, so she said, it's my dying wish that my children will all sit with me and watch Gone with the Wind. And everyone bailed except me because I was actually interested.
Okay.
And we made it through the first segment before the intermission, which who knew they did intermissions.
On that one,
somebody was just telling me the other day, like, I never heard of a movie with intermissions. I'm like, almost everything before like 1960 had an intermission.
The movie was great. We made it the halfway through the second portion and the DVD started to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
I saw it in two parts when I was little. It was on TV in two parts, and I watched one part the one night, and my mom was like, if you don't want to, she would make me watch stuff. Like, if you get through part one and you like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Watch part two.
Smart.
If not, you're done, but you need to at least.
I thought you were at the premiere.
No. Fuck you.
Marnie Ryer, you're down there. You're all ASU Sun Devil done up. Look at you.
You really are. Exciting. Why?
Because it matched.
Are you trying to lure in boys for him or what? What's the?
It matched.
It matched. Okay. So that's your whole. Okay. You may be a gay man.
Maybe. Maybe that's possible.
Yes.
Do you dress with gar animals? I don't understand. It matched.
I don't know.
Well, look at the colors.
No, I get. Well, oh, because it's all ASU. Of course it matches. But what does it match?
Each other. The hat matches the coat. No. Okay, totally different than drapes matching the carpet.
And for Harrison, the shoes. I mean, I have the maroon in there.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It's not.
Right.
What'd you call them? Skechers? What'd you call them?
Chucks.
Chucks. All right. I think you called them Skechers. I'm like, what the hell? We also have a Swatch watch we'd like to talk about.
I love Swatch watches. Do not make fun.
Do not. They're back.
It's been a good week. It's been a good week. Well, not Saturday. Wasn't a good week.
Saturday was a day.
It was a day.
Okay.
That's a good point. Thanks. So the Vikes lost.
I knew that.
They played valiantly, though.
And not just lost.
They lost to Green Bay.
Horribly. No, and just in Green Bay.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Boy.
I almost sent you a text. I'm like, as soon as I do, I'll be in trouble for it.
Right, you're so funny.
I just didn't.
I had my phone set to the side. We didn't start the game until a little bit later.
Okay.
We went out to Brendan and Robin's, so we were in California on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And loved them.
They live in California?
Damn near.
Kind of.
It's way west.
Oh. It's in Waddell.
It's way. Yep.
Don't say dirty words to me.
No, exactly.
Fuck
I'll
you.
Call you a Waddell anytime I want.
Drive to Surprise and realize, Surprise, you have to go further. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's out
that's
of
when
there.
You're
and
like,
then El Mirage. Oh, it's still a Mirage.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Still not there.
Keep going. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can see the strip from
there's
where
the
Vegas
Tank
strip
Mountains,
from where they live.
And then there's their house just parking for the White Tang Mountains.
You're going to get a Christmas card from me and a fare thee well once in a while. That's about it.
No, but God bless them. And so we went out there to watch it, and so that was very, very fun, but not the game itself, no. When we found out about an hour and a half before the game started that our starting quarterback was not going to start, that he, and they showed pictures of his arm. He had done something to his elbow in the game the week before, and it was god-awful. It just looked awful. So a guy that has been with us for 3 seasons,
Like, she's on the team. I like how she addresses that.
But it is, really.
All right,
I'm invested.
Right,
and,
I'm sure.
And he has only started 2 of those games in 3 seasons. And he had only thrown, I think, under 3 passes in the last 3 seasons. So it really was terrifying. But good. He knew how to play hot potato. We noticed that. But that he just kept throwing it around to anyone and everyone. Yeah, like, oh, this is warm. I should throw it to you. And that was it.
I love when we switch metaphors. I have to wipe this, but I didn't want to wipe it.
Huh?
Nothing.
What?
He gave me a dirty look.
I didn't know what he was
doing
because he was closing his iPad. Up
I'm
like,
done.
Like he's done.
Sure.
Good 21 day. Minutes into
good
the show,
to you.
He's done.
I know.
So, I said good day, sir.
That morning, I did a 5K walk.
Good.
Let's go ahead. Whoa, no, let's go ahead and break that.
First thing I thought was kilograms, and I wasn't sure what that meant, really.
Martin, you want to do a 5K together?
I would love to.
Because I do.
A walk?
A walk?
Yeah, no, for sure.
A walk that I'm in.
Yeah. You want to do a walk?
Yeah, I would
love
it.
Let's pick one.
Exactly how far is this 5K? And don't somebody say 5K.
3.1 miles.
Yes, yeah.
Easy.
3.1 something.
We did it. We did it for the AIDS walk.
Yeah.
Oh, not
You've
this
already
year.
Done one.
Okay. You guys,
oh,
we
well,
should,
I'm done.
We should enter as a team.
I like that.
For, oh.
Just dig
look
at,
he's like, rope
there's
me
so many things I have to seem to sign up for with you guys.
This is
what,
important.
What else?
It sounds
yeah,
more dramatic.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know. It just sounded dramatic.
I don't recall a thing.
Got it.
So, yeah, it was.
I mean, Joe's trying to get us to sign up to do some pantsless ride on the goddamn train,
that
and you're signing him
no,
for
that
a
that sounds
that's
weird.
Not going to happen.
No, no, I haven't responded to that email. Joe, this is my response. No.
Sorry,
that
Joe.
Sounds like a private message.
Yeah. Okay. No, it was not. Annual, they do it every year. Yeah.
Still private. I don't care how many times you've done it. Still private.
So
I had done a 5K in the past, which I decided to run. And that just in and of itself is a visual enough for anyone who knows me. But
was somebody chasing you or something?
Yeah, right.
Ronnie, with a good bra, you can do anything.
I gotta go. I was 17, and it was this thing called the Kaiser Roll.
So cool.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
They had kilometers then?
Shut it. They were just coming out with it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So my dad had just passed away, and he was in a wheelchair. And so we were going to do this Kaiser Roll, and it's, you know, for folks of all abilities. And we had what?
Varied abilities.
Varied abilities. Like it's like some can walk and some can't. So when they're out there.
Sometimes the things that they say about handicapped people are worse than just calling them handicapped.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Oh, you have varied degrees of ability.
Abilities.
That was everybody. So I decided.
Maybe it's our tone.
I decided I was going to run it at the time. Mm-hmm. And I played sports. I was rather in shape then. But I didn't do anything that was distance. Like it was basketball, it was softball, you know, soccer, nothing distance.
One end of the court to the other.
That's it. Back and forth. This whole 3.1 miles thing, and I'm like, I've got to do this. You know, we were going to do it together. Dad had passed away. You got that whole, whatever. Ugh. Well, I promptly hurled everything when I got to the finish line. And that was fairly embarrassing. But this one I said, they let you walk. I'm going to choose. I'll opt for that.
Because walking is very good for you.
It is. Yeah. It is. And it was beautiful. It was down at Tempe Town Lake. It was absolutely beautiful. So it was lovely Saturday morning. And then, of course, the bikes lost. And so not a good Saturday night, but meh. It is what it is.
Meh.
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 There's that.
But yeah, good weekend otherwise. Yeah.
Well, all right. Now, Alfred.
I've been busy.
You have got a lot. I was so surprised when I woke up and you sent a text message. I'm leaving. I'm going to I'll be back on Monday. And I'm like, when you obviously spur of the moment decided to take the week and just go to New York.
I had bought the tickets. I kept it as big of a secret as I could. And
you did a good job.
Surprisingly got caught with because Matt Marasco was flying. He was here all week and I kept missing him. We kept missing each other for doing stuff for New Year's. And then it came down to the hostage negotiation of how we were going to see each other on Wednesday. And he's like, well, I'm going to be in the airport tomorrow flying home. And I'm like, where are you flying to? And he's like, Newark. I'm like, what time? And it turned out we were on
the same
flight.
Oh, that's great.
Stop. That is too funny.
And then he had to go on business in
Dallas.
I saw that. So he was flying out the same day as me, but flying to Dallas, but a different airline, a different time. So we were in New York for the same amount of time. But I told him, I'm like, you're under no obligation. I'm not doing anything. I haven't been sleeping very well. So when I wake up, I have like 8 different backup plans depending on if I sleep or what kind of rest I get. I had bought no tickets because I was convinced I was going to get snowed out. And up until like January 1st, it looked like I really was going to get snowed out because they kept getting snow and weird storms in the Midwest. And I made it in and just everything just fired in line and saw all kinds of shows.
That's the best kind of trip.
Yep, I saw movies. I have all kinds of reviews to share with you all.
Oh, we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I can't make any recommendations because every single thing I picked, except for Chicago, either closed the next day or was running for 2 more weeks.
Oh, no.
But I met, like, fantastic people. I did weird stuff. I picked a shuttle.
Was it just you? Just you?
Yeah, just me.
Oh, and, those are the best.
Well, I guess we're further ahead than further behind than I thought
we are.
So flew in, decided to stay at, and I do hotels.com now, which I'm such a big fan of, and they get you the best fucking deals. So I
is it wait, is that like a price line? Like
yeah, very right. similar. Orbits,
and
a
it's
lot of,
not scary.
No, not at all. I've had
I'm
great success
afraid
with
of
that.
What I'll get.
Mm-mm. And I've done. I did Orbits for a trip to Hawaii, and I've done Hotels.com the last 3 trips that I've done, and had just great success with them.
Good.
They offered me the chance to stay at the Waldorf in New York.
Stop it.
For cheap. Which I'd never, I had stayed in that part of town before.
So fancy.
But a little bit, yeah, it was a little bit. But it was a little bit further north. And so this was a new part of town. The drop off and everything just with the shuttle was just shitty, crazy, cold. I wasn't prepared. My stuff was in my bag. I thought I was just going to get picked up by the shuttle and dropped off somewhere else. And it was a super shuttle with a different name. So we're making stops. They had me standing outside in the cold for a while.
Shit.
I'm like, if we're going to do this, I need to go and unpack and get my winter gear. Like, I'm not ready for standing outside in this weather.
Were you wearing that outfit?
No. But I am now, because now it feels deliciously warm here. So so it was fun. So we did that. I met a very nice guy that lived, I can't remember, he lived in Texas or something. So we spent the whole shuttle ride talking and going over stories and had a lovely time. So I wasn't really paying attention to where we were going. They ended up dropping me off on the Lexington side with like 40 minutes to spare to see if I wanted to see a show. And I wanted to see Chicago, but I didn't want to put any effort into it. So they dropped me off. I realized I have enough time to run up to my room, drop off my bags, pee, run to Times Square.
More important than his bags was the pee.
Yeah. Yes. Run to Times Square and see if I could, you know, run to the theater. And I wasn't going to TKTS. I knew it was going to be too much of a nightmare. So I was just going to run up to the theater, see if I could buy a ticket or see what was going on. I walk out the front of the hotel. Now I'm on the Park Avenue side. I walk out the Park Avenue side, and all of a sudden I realize it's my favorite part of New York. I just didn't realize where I had landed. So I'm looking at the MetLife building, the entrance to Grand Central. The trees are all lit with the white and blue lights.
Amazing.
So beautiful. So I stop, I take a couple pictures, I'm like, wow, that's pretty. I'm running down 49th Street, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm going to be near Rockefeller Center. So I turn, and there's the tree right in front of me, and I'm like, oh, pretty. So I took a couple pictures, and then I walk a little bit later, I'm like, oh, they've already taken down the angels. So I keep running, I make it to the theater, I get up to the window, they're telling somebody in front of me in the window something about the tickets, blah, 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 I'm not paying attention. All of a sudden, this guy in French is trying to sell his ticket to the guy at the booth. He's like, no refunds, no refunds, no refunds. So I look at him, I'm like, I got 91 bucks in my pocket. You want it? I'll take the ticket. He's like trying to show me that the face value of the ticket was like an orchestra seat. It was more money. I'm like,
and what is
I got
that?
91
this
bucks.
This is how much?
Yeah, I got
how
90.
What is the, how much is that?
Yeah, how
like
much
$117, I think.
And you had $9.
No, I had 91.
Oh, 91. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh. Well, I wasn't $9, asshole.
Friend. So I was willing to sit, and they had they were at I didn't realize I got in that they were at SRO. They really did have standing people standing in the back. So the guy's like fighting with me. I'm like, $91 cash right now for that ticket. And so all of a sudden, I'm with 6 French people. The whole fucking the whole place was foreign. It was like all different languages being spoken. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, Chicago was in English.
No manners.
And but this was for Chicago.
This was for Chicago.
Okay.
And I'm like 7th row, dead center, like fantastic seats. And I was like, if there's any big names, so I'm trying to check all the things, make sure no big. I don't want to see any. I don't want to see Christie Brinkley try to sing or dance. I'm not your grandmother, you fucking retard. I don't want to watch you try to sing or dance. Like, I want only, like, non-names. I want Broadway
right.
people.
Actual theater.
Singers, dancers.
Yeah.
Got so lucky. Oh. Amy Spanger, who was Michael C. Hall, Dexter's ex-wife.
Oh,
who
yeah.
originated a part in Kiss Me, Kate. I've seen her a couple times on Broadway. She's phenomenal. She was Roxy. Christopher Siebert, who former listeners might remember. I just saw in La Cage aux Folles when it toured, and he was the best thing about La Cage. He played Zaza. And was phenomenal. He was Billy Flynn. Spectacular. So a great singer. I wasn't watching some fat old white guy who doesn't have a career anymore.
I'm right here.
Pretend he's on Broadway. I was pointing at you. So it was just, it was so cool to walk into like straight up Broadway cast. No
so cool.
suspiciously big names in the thing. No sets, no costumes, just the lights, the band on stage. And they were like balls to the wall. Dancing.
You even text me and you're like, without even a set, without anything, best thing going.
Yes, yeah. No
you're
sets,
so
no costumes, just
very happy
it's
about
got
that.
15 chairs on the stage, and the one girl changes her shoes and two of them put on jackets, and that's your costume pages for
wow.
Chicago. Phenomenal dancing. And it was so sexy and so alive, and it was phenomenal.
Oh, I love Chicago.
And the French people loved it. I loved it. Most of the jokes fell flat because nobody spoke English but me, and oh well.
And there's that.
Yeah, that's. If you guys could put on the wall, if you can hear these little buzzes that
I think they can
buzzing.
Huh? Well, because I'm doing it slow, I should do it faster like that.
You
can't hear it.
Yeah.
So
that was it. So I have more of the entertainment.
Yeah, I know you
do.
I figured you had all.
That was a little
plus,
fun,
we have 2.5 hours to fill. So I'm sure at some point you're going to tell us more. Just a guess.
I'm excited about your trip. Keep talking.
I know.
No, I want to hear more and more.
It's crazy. It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll go on and on.
It's a damn
The
lie.
Only thing, a couple things I have, and they're kind of comical. Obviously, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I got, thank God, it was wonderful. It's a wonderful Christmas gift I got from my landlord, all block wall around my backyard. So it really, it's odd that it feels that the confinement of the yard defines the yard. And now I feel like, well, I have a backyard now. Because now I want to go out and I want to spend time and I want to make something of the yard. Mm-hmm. Similar to you. I don't want to put a pool in, but I mean, I want to landscape and add sprinklers and do things. Well, the wood fence all came down. Mm-hmm. So the wood fence, the gates and the posts and all that other stuff is in my backyard. Well, being resourceful, I've repurposed two of them, but I got another 35 or 40 feet of wooden fence. Mm-hmm. So my circular saw and I have been really busy ripping them apart and making firewood.
Nice. Oh, I saw that.
Do I have to buy it or can I just have some?
No, it's not going to last you very long. Trust me. Because
we have a little fire pit.
Right,
back,
you're in the back, right. Well, what I've been doing with it is I made a stack of wood by the back porch and I have that chimenea that was my mom's.
Yeah.
Do you know that you can make fire shoot 4 feet out the top of the chimenea?
I did not know
it's
that.
Really exciting. Yeah. It's really
no
exciting.
No lighter fluid.
No. Oh, no, no, no. No. Just lousy dry wood from panels that you bought years ago.
Nice.
Yeah,
so shot right out of a chicken's ass.
So we've been burning that. It's been wonderful. And the other thing was a friend of mine came back into town, Tony Carrasone, who left 7 months ago and did an internship. It's called a CP. It's a college. I forget CP stands for something. He went to work basically as an intern for. I'm not going to use their name. Al used it earlier, but let's just say it's a very prominent theme park in Central Florida. He was a safari driver for them for 7 months and came back to town. And I spent Sunday hanging out with him and just welcoming back to town. He's a young kid, but he's got like a lot of dreams.
Did you
welcome
him with both hands or your mouth or what?
Excuse me? What?
Oh, my God. Stop it.
It was brunch and
Danger.
A tour of Central Phoenix.
Is that what they're calling
it? Oh, yeah. I do like
tour
a metaphor.
Of my Central Phoenix.
And I'll be texting him after the show. He may link up with us if we choose to go somewhere. If not, well, I may just link up with him. You never know.
I've added caffeine to vodka, so I think it might.
By the way, I haven't got to have one of those wonderful new drinks yet, but I should.
Oh, you didn't deal. Yeah.
Well, you might want to make one. And by the way, Marnie, we had to give her a break. Marnie brought snickerdoodles this week.
Oh. Yay! Oh.
I apologize. It
14
took me so long.
Days in the
I
making.
Know, I know.
Oh, that takes a long time
Actually,
to rise.
Those are fresh.
They are. No,
fresh
they are.
When?
They're soft
today. No, they're soft.
Oh, they are?
They're really good.
Can I?
Oh, please.
Because I don't want to, I realize this has been a point of contention for weeks.
There should be enough.
Okay.
Yeah. And if there are not, then
we'll make
more.
There's
I've
that.
Been, like, on my diet has been going really well for 2 days. And so it's bullshit.
And I'm sure it's been gluten free.
Bullshit that there's cookies everywhere in here.
It sucks. Suck it, Marnie.
Yes.
I've already eaten three.
All right. We are running a
perfectly prepared snickerdoodle. It's hard to come by.
Especially if you dunk it in vodka. By the way, thanks, Doug or Joe for giving us the bottle of vodka because Alice made some lovely little cocktail for us.
It's lovely with some sort of green tea.
It's just have one, Marnie.
No. We're not going to go crazy.
Don't crazy. Yeah.
No.
Because we can call Sue.
No.
All right.
No,
we are running a little bit late. We have headlines and entertainment coming up in just moments. It's 7:34. You don't really give a shit because who knows when you're going to listen to this. It's the show with Clayton McKee and Cast. We'll be back in moments right after this.
Looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me.
And now, we dance.
Listening to Q Talk Arizona.
Hi, it's Clayton McKee from Q Talk America. Would you like to receive 50% off your next purchase of an adult DVD, adventurous toy, or maybe even a new lube you've heard about and wanted to try? Well, now you can. Check out AdamMail.com and you can receive 50% off just about any item. In addition to that great savings, AdamMail.com will also throw in 3 free all-male DVDs that's sure to get you in the mood. And they'll even throw in free shipping. All you have to do to take advantage of this special offer is go to AdamMail.com and use coupon code QTALK1. That's QTALK1. When you do, you'll get all three DVDs and free shipping for your entire order. Remember, that's adammail.com. All right, it's a look at headlines that we're going to discuss on this Tuesday evening. Coming to you live from the show with Clayton McKee and Q-Talk America. Diana Ross causes a scene at a Beverly Hills restaurant. A cat used in a Brazil prillion bust attempt. A man found living in a woman's home's crawl space.
Oh.
An iPad thief gives himself away with a self-portrait. And a missing dog found on the streets of Houston, Texas, 1,500 miles from home. These and Al's Entertainment Corner coming up right now. Oh, my heavens. I didn't know if Al had heard about this or not. I saw it, and the second I saw the headline, I thought to myself, well, if we haven't discussed Diana Ross on this show, God damn it, we're going to do it tonight. Al, do you know what I'm talking about or no? No, I mean, have you already heard this story?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I don't know, I understand. I mean, she got busted in Tucson a few years ago for being drunk.
Oh, yeah, trying to rent a Blockbuster.
Diana Ross stormed out of a restaurant after she was told that she could not sit down. The 68-year-old singer arrived at a Beverly Hills eatery called La Scala. Escalia? La Scala? Maybe European.
There's always a word.
La
Cienega.
It's a tough neighborhood.
Yes, it is.
It's dark.
She arrived early for lunch with her daughter, who is Rhonda Ross Kendrick. She's 40. I don't know why they put the ages 41, her daughter.
Because they're mean fuckers.
I guess they are. Last Thursday, but the restaurant has a policy, kind of like Oregano's here locally, of not seating an incomplete party unless they have a reservation. She did not. After staff refused her request to be seated while she sat for Rhonda, onlookers say Diana walked over to a corner booth and sat down anyway. Management explained that their seating policy, and she said that she would not. They said that she would not be served if she didn't wait for her daughter where they had asked her, but she refused to move. When Rhonda arrived, a scene ensued, and both women reportedly stormed out. Despite the commotion, the restaurant insists they would have been happy to serve the former Supreme star in the future.
Ooh, that's how you piss her off.
Yeah. Former Supreme star.
La Scala owner Gigi Leone told the New York Post, "I'm sorry that Miss Ross had a problem and that she feels that that the rules did not apply to her. Our policy is that we don't set incomplete parties. If people jump in line, our policy is we don't serve them at all. We treat everyone with the same, whether they're famous or not. We love having her as a customer, and we'd love to have her back real soon."
She won't come back till you call it Diana Ross.
Girl, she's 68. She 68. Needs to sit down. Yes. Give the lady a break. Let her sit.
Her hair isn't 68, but she is.
Let her sit.
Yeah. So I thought, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is custom fitted for Alfred right there.
And she had a .24 when she was in Tucson driving her ass to the Blockbuster. She showed up with a .24.
Oh, shit.
So she wasn't fucking around.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Yeah.
Apparently. Ain't no valley low enough. Not for
Disney. Ain't no shot glass deep enough.
Oh, my. A heating repairman had good news and bad news for Washington State homeowner Vel McKellen. The good news was that he'd fixed her heating ducts after she reported her furnace was failing to heat her house adequately. The bad news, well, someone was living in the crawl space under her home.
Oh, my God.
And the reason her home wasn't heated was because they had diverted the heat to keep them warm.
Stop.
Oh, my God.
The repairman said that he had found beer cans, liquor bottles, and other things beneath the house.
Oh, dear.
Miss Kellen told KMOTV on Monday that she had no idea how long the unwanted visitor had been climbing into her crawl space. That sounds like an innuendo.
Yeah.
There's
no problem.
When do you think you'll be sure?
The unwanted visitor had been crawling into her crawl space, which has an opening in the backyard.
Oh, dear.
Kellen thinks the person might have also been smoking marijuana, otherwise known as Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Because she often said that she smelled smoke but was unsure of the source. The squatter somehow fooled her three dogs, obviously never barked as well. At press time, it was unclear as to the identity of the guest or if he had representation.
That is really funny. Can you imagine? That guy's, he's resourceful. He's like, this bitch doesn't need heat. She has a house.
Right.
I'm living in the fucking
She'll
ground.
She'll never notice I'm
Boom,
even here.
Divert.
Never notice I'm here. Oh, my God. That's funny shit. And I don't know if any of you watched any of the news. I thought this was funny. This was actually on the national news, and then obviously I did it today. Guards at a prison in Sao Paulo, Brazil, thought there was something a little suspicious about a little white cat slipping through a prison gate in northeastern Brazil recently. A prison official says that when they caught the animal, they found a cell phone, drills, small saws, and other contraband taped to the body of the cat. They actually had a picture online of this poor cat. And I think, first of all, if you're taping shit to a cat, the tape's got to come off, and that's going to... It's just like putting a Band-Aid, like, no. It hurt. It's going to hurt.
That's sad.
State prison spokesman Cynthia Moreno says the cat was caught New Year's Eve at the medium security prison in the city. The Sao Paulo newspaper reported Saturday that all the prison's 263 inmates are suspects in the smuggling attempt. And, of course, they all deny involvement. A spokesman said that it will be hard to discover who is responsible since the cat does not speak. Aww. Do cats in other countries speak and we're just missing this?
I love that was news.
It's part of the story.
Do not speak. You know what? I do not usually enjoy mixer or flavored vodka.
But this is good.
This is lovely.
Would you like to take a brief moment and let us know what we are drinking?
Well, it's Honey Boo Boo Vodka.
Thank you, Joe DeGante.
I can't see the bottle
and
here.
TLC.
I don't know what it is, but it smells good. The bouquet is lovely.
Lovely. It's honey flavored vodka, and I've added some...
Arizona tea?
Arizona green tea.
It's lovely. And even Katie and I said, we're not tea
not
drinkers.
Not a tea drinker.
But yes, the vodka to it, tasty. And all of a sudden that tea's good. It's very light.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's almost summer. I feel
it's
warm.
It's very laying by your pool. This might have to be one of my new summertime drinks. Yeah.
By the way, slash.
Yeah, but it's light, too. Not a lot of flavor going on.
Yeah. Hashtag may I just. I was thinking, because you have a pool.
I do.
I was thinking maybe this summer we might have to have a little gathering of the four of us at your house. Can we
that
do
that?
You think
good.
We could do that? Can we
I'd
take
like
that,
it.
That web of fear across off your pool?
The web of fear.
We can. I also have a diving board. It may or may not break any day now, but we're free to use
it.
I'm not sitting on that point.
Free to use it. Yeah. That's good.
My first house, it broke.
Jumper dive.
One bounce and it was in the water. Yeah, we had to pull it out and like... De-rust the pool.
Kelly tells everyone before they come over, this is, I'm not responsible.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now.
Sign this waiver.
Yes. Hashtag almost lucky.
Yeah, the lucky thing for the person that did the first spring, they didn't die.
Oh. Right. There's that.
Could have ended ugly.
In West Jordan, Utah, a man who lost an iPad says the thief showed his face by using the tablet to take pictures of himself because he's so smart. Those images... oddly, automatically uploaded to the owner's iCloud data storage. The Desert News reports that Andy Gioni still hasn't recovered the iPad, which was stolen from his car just before Christmas. But the West Jordan resident posted the suspect's self-portraits on a Facebook page and says a police officer immediately contacted him and they recognized him. The suspect was arrested last Saturday on unrelated charges, but Bountiful Utah police say that a man is a parolee who was picked up for traffic violations using a, quote, borrowed car. West Jordan police are handling the case. Of the missing iPad. They didn't immediately return a call on Monday to the Associated Press, and it was also unclear if the man had retained representation.
I listened to the show. I listened back to Fur Flying, where all the white trash people don't have lawyers. Like every white trash story, unclear whether they have a lawyer. Like, I think we can just use that as a given.
Funny stuff. I now look more four stories without representation because I think it's just funnier. And this is a great thing for dog owners, and I didn't realize Al doesn't give a shit about pets, but all those of us who do, and Marnie, obviously, you've got like an army of ant critters.
How she quietly snuck that hostage in?
Hurst lives there now. She hasn't had any problems. She's not asking for release.
Yeah.
Yeah, any of that.
She's been shown in Christmas pictures mysteriously.
I understand that, right. Uh-huh. Convenient.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Weird.
A microchip implant has helped a dog from Pennsylvania named Roxy get home after a missing animal was found 1,500 miles away in Houston, Texas. Animal shelter officials say that the German Shepherd registered to Dan Laughlin of Allentown, Pennsylvania, was returned Sunday afternoon. The pet was flown from Houston to Newark Liberty International Airport via United Airlines.
Oh, he was just there.
Who donated the flight. An animal control officer on Friday picked up the dog wandering on a southwest Houston street, scanned it, found the chip, and realized that the dog was owned by the man in Pennsylvania. Officials noticed the chip had a pooch. Blah, 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 blah. This is really good, whatever this drink is, because it's already fucking me. We're 45 minutes in. Officials noticed the pooch had a microchip, which led to the Laughlin man. He told animal shelter authorities who contacted him that a relative had taken the dog without his permission and apparently dropped the dog off in Houston. Shelter authorities say that a pet store, a local pet store, helped coordinate the arrangements and fly the dog
so
home.
So the dog didn't walk to Houston. He
was
kidnapped.
Right.
He was Patty Hursted.
No, right.
From the verb to
but
Patty
still,
Hurst.
How shitty is it? You take a dog and then you just let the dog go. Right. That's shitty.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Again, I don't really like animals, and I would never do any of
this
shit.
Why would
like,
you do that? Yeah. Anyone. Yeah. Boo. Yeah,
and finally, in our list of important headlines, and if you haven't heard this story, I heard some funny things online today. I was trying to find it, but this is a funny story. And for all of us who really give a shit about Christmas and lights, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The holidays may be over, but a Louisiana woman wants to keep her unusual light display on her roof, showing an extended middle finger to her neighbors. U.S. District Judge James Brady heard testimony Monday about whether Sarah Child should be granted a preliminary injunction barring the city of Denham Springs, Louisiana, and Denham Springs, and police from requiring her to remove the display. The judge didn't rule at the hearing, and it will continue next week. Child said she put up the rooftop message in November because she believed her neighbor stole her dog. She says police threatened her with fines and an arrest because of the lights. She and the American Civil Liberties Union, of course, they're in on this. The ACLU of Louisiana sued the city, its mayor, and the police.
Oh.
Yeah. Brady issued a temporary restraining order.
God bless the ACLU.
They issued a temporary restraining order in mid-December prohibiting city officials from interfering with the lights and saying efforts to prevent Childs from having the display would violate her rights to free speech and due process. Here's where I think it's funny. So there was a back and forth between the judge and her attorney, and it goes something like this. The attorney said, or the judge said, are the lights still up? Her attorney said, yes, the lights are still up. Do you think she intends on keeping them up? The attorney responds, yeah, she intends on keeping them up, Your Honor. She ain't going to take them down. No. So at this point, she still got lights with a extended middle finger representing a hand on the rooftop, flipping off all of her neighbors in Denham Springs, Louisiana.
Oh, it really is just a hand.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not Christmas related at all.
No, she shaped all of her lights on her roof like a hand flipping people off.
When you said that, I thought, oh, she's just being a bitch. She's
right,
trying
she's
to
giving the middle finger.
Yeah. No, she's right. actually that giving yeah. them the middle
I did too.
Finger.
I'm like, you know, I don't usually use the baby Jesus to say fuck you to people, but she went literal on that one.
She did that.
I just think that's funny. So this crazy angry bitch who thinks somebody stole her dog in Louisiana has an extended finger on her rooftop, and she is not taking
that
it down.
Is awesome.
There is that. And at this time, I think we're ready to go. It's Al Perkins and a little bit of entertainment news.
Well, it's a big week in entertainment news. The Oscar nominations come out Thursday.
That was the close.
The Oscar nominations come out Thursday morning. They come out 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, so figure out where they are. They come out live. It's really 8:36, so be ready.
Why is it that?
They do it for the first out of local, for the last segment of Good Morning America, national news. And it's live, and Seth MacFarlane is, for the second time in Oscar history, is going to actually announce the nominations.
Oh.
So he's going to show up. I can't remember who his co-presenter is, but it's not the president of the Academy. Usually it's Young Starlet and that. And then just all kinds of reviews to share with
you. Well, go Mr. Perkins. I'm sure you got a lot.
Well, we'll start this Sunday. Set your clocks and your TV. Your TVRs is the Golden Globes. Woo! Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are hosting.
Wait, do you think
hosting.
They're... I was anxious to hear your thought on... them being the hosts.
Oh, I think they're going to knock it out of the park.
You do. Yeah.
Just, they make everything funnier.
I do.
Okay.
Well, and I mean,
on
I like
every
that.
Award show.
Yeah, and that's Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler's been fucking around with Best Actress for
a couple years.
Or the one year they wear the funny glasses. The one year they went up on stage and pretended to be beauty contestants. And they don't discuss it with the producers or directors of the show.
They just do it.
Was it the last award show
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yes.
They swapped speeches.
Yes.
So she started to give Amy speech.
Yeah.
They had all swapped. And started,
I don't think I've seen it for the last couple of years.
It's funny.
Yeah,
they've
been doing it. They've been doing a lot, having a lot of fun.
But
with
they're
that.
Smart. They really have. They're smart ladies.
They really are.
And there was somebody one year. It wasn't Laura Linney. Maybe it was Edie Falco. There was one year that one person wouldn't play along, and I want to say it was Edie Falco.
Oh,
wouldn't
that's
do the
lame.
Wouldn't do the glasses thing. Mm. But Laura Linney got up there, and they all did the pretending they were in a pageant.
The
very
right.
funny.
Okay.
So they and I bet the 30 Rock this year has just been. Out of its mind funny. Like, they know they're ending, and they're just going nuts. So if you have not been watching 30 Rock, catch up. Find it on demand. Find it on NBC.com. It's so obscure. The humor, it's Arrested Development at the end, where we don't care if you get the joke.
Right.
Like, we're just here to make fun of everything. But your Oscar nominations come out Thursday morning. This is, again, the first time that the nominations, that the ballots had to be in before the SAG Awards were given out. I mean, of course, the SAG Awards are only like 19 years old this year. Okay. So it did happen previously. So there's a little bit more of a guessing game there as to what's going on. I have now seen, I got to see, the first thing I'll do is I got to see in New York Zero Dark Thirty.
Mm. Oh.
Okay. Do not miss this movie. Oh. It is.
It's that good?
It's Argo good. I mean, it is edge of your seat, exciting, disturbing. I
when
mean,
is that released nationally?
I want to say this Friday.
Okay.
I think this Friday it goes. I think they're waiting for the nominations. That way they can open with, you know, Best Picture nominee.
Right.
And definite Best Actress. I really think we're now down to, the way that I'm reading the tea leaves, this is based on nothing but my own feeling, that we're down to Naomi Watts for Impossible, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, and Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty. Mm-hmm. Not
aren't there five?
There are, but I think those everybody else is just going to be so honored to be nominated.
So who you think is just going
to
be?
That's where you have like Helen Mirren maybe for Hitchcock. There's
just kind of like some fluffy.
So because you think Anne Hathaway is going to be
supporting.
Supporting.
Okay. Supporting. Okay. And well, there's a chance for the. I had a chance to see Amour, but I saw something else instead. But Amour, the lady from the French movie Amour, and I know you're looking at me funny. Mm-hmm. French movie, gorgeous. It should come here to Camelview probably in the next week or two. It's just in the limited run, and I passed it up. I chose something else. She should get a nomination for this movie. It's an 80-year-old woman who gets Alzheimer's in France, and it's supposed to be just fantastic. And everyone that's seen it is raving about it. It's only playing in like five theaters. Yeah, it's only playing in like five theaters right now.
Tearjerker.
Oh, yeah, big time. Zero Dark Thirty, though, and we've been talking about it all year. Like, where did they get the information? Mm-hmm. Who talked about the mission? Who leaked the stuff? And there really, I don't think there's a lot there. I think that was a lot of hype coming out, thinking the movie was going to come out before the election. I think that was really a lot of talk. There wasn't a lot of stuff that we didn't really know from the news specifically, but the earlier stuff about the torture, what did they got out of torture? The difference between Obama coming into office and not, and now some of the people in Guantanamo turns out have lawyers, and there's different rights involved. So it was very interesting to see what we got out of torture and what we got out of just plain old simple one woman with her, not one woman, but one group that just were relentless and refused to give up after everyone had said, and Bush had given up long ago, Congress had given up long ago, McCain said it wasn't worth it. Romney had said in his 08 run that it wasn't worth it going after bin Laden. And they really had to talk Obama into going back after it, saying, "We, you know, we have these clues." It was really, really well done. More of an ensemble movie. So her Best Actress thing is it will be like a kind of congratulations. You've made like 9 movies in the last 2 years that were, most of them were Oscar worthy. So she'll get like it's kind of a career Oscar already for her second year in film, but deserved. Okay. Really well done. I saw Django Unchained today.
Oh, that's been controversial.
Very,
right?
Very controversial. And I have it on here. I just found out, and I think this is in really bad taste. The article is actually called Outrage because somebody made Django action figures. Oh. Which I don't think there's any way for those to be in good taste. Now, my take on this is I was a big, huge fan of Inglourious Basterds. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very clever, and it was the last time I went on a date to a movie because the guy I was on a date with was like, "Why is this in subtitles? Why am I reading a movie?" And I'm like, "Get the fuck away from me now. I never want to see you again, you worthless human.
Just leave.
Just leave
the theater.
Please leave the theater.
And this date."
So he was all offended because parts of it weren't in English. And he's like, "Why am I reading?" Which I'm like, "Shut the please, why do people like that talk to me?" But anyway, so I think this one was really the answer to people that get all high and mighty about the Germans in World War II, like, look at what terrible people they were, and we defeated them. Well, you know what? We have some really shitty parts to our past. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, before I get too high and mighty, look what we did in this country. Sure. And it's people are very offended by his use of the N-word, but if you're making a movie about slavery, I don't see how you avoid it. It's applied from all sides.
Is it just like, but I hate the word, and is it just so gratuitous?
I thought that's how
Spike Lee made it sound. Like,
Spike Lee's pissed.
I thought that about Jackie Brown. Like, I thought Spike Lee, his time to speak up was about 10 years ago when he made Jackie Brown. Because Jackie Brown, I thought, just, it was the blaxploitation film.
Yeah.
I thought that was far more gratuitous. I think anything in anytime anyone uses it out of the context of like that era, I think you're kind of pushing a button. But what other word are you going to use? It's kind of like trying, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's in a historical context. Of course, it's not factually accurate. It's about a bounty hunter that gets to Django because he's a witness. He's actually an eyewitness to something that this bounty hunter needs, and they form a friendship and they go in search of his wife, and it is brutal, 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 brutal. I mean, the language, the violence, everything about it. But now my problem earlier in the year was with The Hunger Games, because do not make a PG-13 movie about children slaughtering each other.
Right.
And I think this goes into our national discussion of, like, what's wrong with people? Why do people shoot people? Because on video games, nothing happens. Something just falls down. If you go see The Hunger Games, somebody gets an arrow through the neck.
And then they
just fall down and there's no blood because we have to keep a PG-13.
And don't they, in that movie, I can't remember, but they just like disappear into the air in the night.
Fairies. Yeah, something strange goes on. But there's no repercussions to killing somebody. This movie is so gory and so violent that when a bullet hits somebody, a bullet tears someone apart. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to shoot this person, they're just going to fall down, there's no consequence. I mean, it's gory, which is what I think violent movies need.
Right.
I don't need to see Sylvester Stallone snap Snowman's neck and then run on. Or, Arnold Schwarzenegger shoot somebody in the kneecap and life is all happy and good. Like, if you shoot somebody in the kneecap, I want to see somebody, like, not stand up and run some more like they do in Bruce Willis movies. I want actual repercussions to a gunshot. Or if you kick somebody in the nuts, they're down for like an hour. Right. Nobody's getting up and fighting again.
Right.
I don't know the person with those testicles.
Right.
So this movie really has that, in my opinion, has that going on. Like, you get to see all the repercussions of violence and bad attitudes towards people. Like, does that make sense? Like, you get some repercussions. So I really like that. I got to see Lincoln Center, which I'd never like really basked in Lincoln Center, but we'll go into that later. West of Memphis, which is Fran and Peter Walsh that do all the Hobbit movies. The West Memphis Three are the three people that were convicted of murdering the three kids in West Memphis, Arkansas. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is their documentary telling their side of the story about the celebrity involvement. Because there's the Paradise Lost documentaries, 1, 2, and 3, which I know you're all going to say, I've never seen that movie. Go see these three fucking movies. They're what freed these three people. It's one of the biggest overturnings of a conviction and people just judging people in the South over nothing. So the West Memphis 3 is kind of a different version of that same story. It condenses the three movies. It was so well done. And you have how Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks contributed, what her part was in a strange way, how the documentaries, the first three, almost put somebody in the same trap of, because this guy looks like this, we in the North think he's suspicious, where in the South they think the other people are. So that was very well done.
Okay.
So that has a chance for Best Documentary. Really well done. And then the Directors Guild nominations are out, which are a pretty good precursor. But that's just about it. I mean, there's just so much going on this week. We have the whole month to talk about it.
And you've got more. I know you've got more in this segment. You have to. I mean, you can't do it in 10 minutes. I'm sure you didn't. So what I suggest we do is we do the crossover. We go into the next portion of the hour. And we come back and we continue on with Al Perkins. With all his stuff about what he's seen, what he predicts, what's going to happen.
Yeah, a couple more little predictions. We'll be ready to go.
Nothing but time right here on the show with Q Talk America. It's me. I'm Clayton McKee. We are here in the studio, live as we are each and every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Figure out what time it is wherever the hell you live. You know what I just realized is we're missing somebody from the chat room.
Tyler. Well,
where's Tyler? I don't know why.
Sometimes he joins later.
Tyler from TN.
Maybe he will. I'm not sure. You're in studio listening with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, who, by the way, is completely color-coordinated with ASU Sun Devil
Looking
gear.
Looking good, Marnie.
Thanks.
Are you bucking for a job on a team?
You know, maybe.
Yeah. She's shopping around.
I'm open to suggestions.
I understand. I understand.
Best offer.
Al Perkins and me will be back in moments right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again, 8 o'clock Tuesday night. You're listening to The Show with Clayton McKee. That is me. Thank you for joining us. If you missed the first hour, well, you got plenty of time to catch up and listen. We do permit you to download podcasts.
Subscribe to us live on iTunes or listen on demand right from Q Talk America's website. With us each and every week, she's returning from a couple week vacation. Katie June is in the house with us, along with Marnie Ryer and Al Perkins.
Hello.
We are all here just for you on this Tuesday night, as we do each and every Tuesday. And we're going to continue on with the with the entertainment segment from Al, because we ran out of time, Al.
All right, well, for our last piece, the greatest prognosticator of the Oscars is the Directors Guild, and everybody's up. I can't believe we're on January, what is the atomic clock
eighth?
Say?
It's Elvis' birthday.
January
8th. It's the
7th.
It is the 8th.
It's the 8th.
Definitely the 8th.
Oh, today God, I got back
damn,
on the 7th.
It is.
Marnie,
it?
You must have had a good Saturday.
Happy 2013.
Wow.
Welcome to the new year.
Wow. Yeah.
I better pay my bills. I got paid today.
Wow. Yeah. So we're at January 8th, and we're 2 days from the Oscar nominations, and the DGA nominations are already out. And we already have our first bit of intrigue.
What?
Now, for some reason, and I'll tell if anybody really gives a shit, which they probably don't. Probably only Doug and I care. And maybe Buddy.
Buddy does care. He came in and said, "You have no idea how bad I want to be there with you, Al." He's on your
page. Quentin Tarantino does not belong to the guilds. He is not a member of the Writers Guild, which means he cannot be nominated for the Writers Guild awards, which makes guessing Oscars very tricky.
Is he just doing that to be like a badass?
I'm not sure. And it might be because he was independent films. And how he hired people, he may not have been using Screen Actors Guild. He might have been going out of guild, and sometimes they punish people. And it turns out he just got invited, or he just joined the Directors Guild last year, even though you can be nominated and not be in the Directors Guild, because he's been nominated before. But I guess the screeners did not go out to the guild in time. So your nominee, so that's kind of his, why that might affect him. So no big surprises, though. What's left is Ben Affleck for Argo, which I think we've all been saying since that movie came out that Ben Affleck...
Everyone knew.
It's a best. Kind of a and I think that will given. Be the snub. If someone goes, I think they might turn up their nose at Ben Affleck as being too young. He might get the Barbra Streisand snub. What's going to happen there? I think that's... His last name is A, and the movie is A, because they're done alphabetically. And when you get to director and picture, they're done by... movie title, not by name, where the actors and actresses are done by their last name.
Ah.
So, for those of us that were waiting for John Travolta 1 year and they got to someone else with a T, you were like, like you always go alphabetically and know who's being snubbed. You gotta be ready. Tom Hooper gets a director nod for Les Miserables, which not a big surprise, but this is a little bit higher than I was expecting. I thought Les Mis would be the surprise. I know you because they can go up to 10. They can go anywhere from 5 to 10 nominations for Best Picture. So, you know, anything that's not on this list is usually just a thanks for being nominated. But Les Mis makes it up higher, and that gets it a really good shot at the Best Picture, and a couple other awards seem better.
Even if this wins, I'm not sure if I can stomach going.
It's beautiful music. It's just gorgeous music.
Now, let me just ask you really quickly, because I was thinking about this, because Kelly said, everybody on Facebook is talking shit about Les Mis.
Right. And that's true. A lot of people are. But just as many that are dissing are giving it props.
That's what I said. I said I thought people were loving it. And now Kelly, someone, she's not a musical person. And I'm a musical theater person. And I would go, just because I know every word to every song.
Right.
And I would just... I've seen it twice, once in London and once in, you know, here. And I just love it. And I would
And you're going to eat the whole fucking thing up. Yeah.
But is it just for people who really are into it? Or?
Okay, well, because you can't ask me that because I'm
you're that into it.
I saw it once just recently, September, I think.
It was here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I sat off stage, like we were front row, but very far off to the left, like the last two seats. And so I couldn't see everything, but the music was just amazing.
The end of that first act.
Yeah.
With the flag, and do you hear the people sing? Yeah. And I'm crying.
Yeah. And that's it's all there.
And it really is. Like, and so I sat there watching the movie, and I mentioned it briefly before my stupor last week. Russell Crowe was the only piece of it that I kind of, and I listened to the show beforehand and what you had to say in it. Okay. I mean, to a degree, I could see that. It just didn't, the voice that I heard in the production was so breathtaking. And it just was like, whoa. And what I heard was,
Yeah, Javert. And,
I was like, meh. Like, stop singing.
I had gotten myself for Christmas.
Javert.
Yeah. I got myself for Christmas the 25th anniversary concert from the O2 Arena. And I had just watched it the night before. And I think his name is Norm Lewis, this beautiful black singer. Gorgeous, gorgeous, trained mm-hmm. voice that just sings the shit out of the part. So then to go into somebody who's not as trained, not in control, and can't sing that low, that's a very low part, and just can't give the power to those low notes. So mm-hmm. he just kept falling short, and it was because the music was still in my head from yeah. having watched the concert like an hour before.
Right.
But if you're like me and you know the whole show backwards and forwards, like everybody's voice is still in your head.
And the one thing, if you haven't seen it, that Erin had wanted to bring up was she and was pissed. Like you could tell, was pissed about the in couple. The innkeepers.
Oh, I thought why?
She hated the casting. Was very curious to talk to you about that. She hated the casting. I didn't get it either because Helena Bonham Carter didn't make any sense.
Well,
to
she
me.
Had just done Sweeney Todd. She always plays.
But I thought it was supposed to be like a big gal and real busty.
That's become a type now. Okay. That's become a
but
type.
But my thought
to
play is just
role.
A tacky, cockney, like just yeah. kind of a.
Which I didn't know that she pulled off, but. You know, I wasn't yeah.
I think
super
she could
impressed.
Do that.
Because they didn't. They're supposed to be that whole comic relief in this thing, and I didn't think she or Sacha Baron Cohen were that fantastic, but that's.
Yeah,
just
and
my
they had just done Sweeney Todd. And my thing is like, why do we have Cockney accents? We're in France.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Why are just they... as I was saying Cockney, I'm like, wait, this is French, right?
Yeah, I'm like, why are they? Why do the Cockneys have enough money to go abroad?
So
like,
true.
What the fuck? That always bothers me.
Was it a traveling band?
Yeah,
so, Europeans.
And that is one thing that you can always rip to shreds: is why does everyone's English accent get stronger here in France?
Such a good point.
But it was originally from the London stage. Now here's my big surprise, and this is another movie I've been pushing for the last couple of months, Life of Pi. Ang Lee gets a director's nod, and so this is turning into this year's Hugo. Is everyone went into that movie and had the same impression that I did when I saw Hugo of like, this is someone who loves movies, loves making movies, and now like all your Brokeback Mountains and all the other beautiful things. Like Ang Lee did The Ice Storm with Sigourney Weaver a couple years ago, which no one saw it, but it's a gorgeous, gorgeous fantastic movie about a family during an ice storm, and it's the 70s and it's loose sex and everything, and it all culminates in this ice storm. He's got all these beautiful movies and beautiful ideas, and it finally comes to light in this gorgeous thing that everybody's bitching about 3D, but you know what? Now you've had Martin Scorsese make Hugo, which was probably the most beautiful movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then you get Ang Lee coming out with Life of Pi. Again, gorgeous. Steven Spielberg for Lincoln. We're going to segue into a couple things here. And then Kathryn Bigelow for Zero Dark Thirty. So you get her second nomination, which brings that up. So what you're missing is Silver Linings Playbook and then Django Unchained as the wild cards in that list. Either one of them could shock somebody and come in. After seeing Django Unchained, I'm not sure they're going to put Quentin Tarantino in over any of these people. I can see where anybody could get on your high horse and bitch about the violence due to recent shootings. You could bitch about the use of the N-word, although I think it's perfectly appropriate in a Civil War setting with slaves. I don't know how you avoid that word.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You black person.
right. It's like,
I mean,
it's like in Huck Finn, they call him, now they're changing.
Changed
it. Oh, and that just
and
makes him want to shoot
it's
somebody.
Oh, in the printed.
Again, Al's a non-violent person, but he wants to shoot somebody.
No, but yeah, in the printed, they've changed it.
What did they change it to?
Slave. Now they call him slave. Which doesn't carry, like.
It doesn't carry that same impact.
And you have to, if you start erasing history and you start taking things out of the context.
How scary.
Yeah, you really have to keep that in context. So then my lucky little trip. So I went for a walk. I wanted to see Zero Dark Thirty. I knew it was open. I misjudged. I went walking the wrong way. I thought the address meant one way. I went the other way. Realized I had never gone down Columbus this one way and stood outside of the Metropolitan Opera with the fountain and the stairs that have the light up welcome and the donors' names and all these things and the lights up the staircase with the New York Ballet on one side. And I can't remember what's on the right. And Lincoln Center Theater is tucked away in the back. With the Christmas tree and the gorgeous fountain where in Moonstruck they meet, where they just danced on Glee. It's this New York setting, and it's where they filmed before they built it. It's where West Side Story was filmed on that land before they built Lincoln Center. So that's...
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you're there right before they started construction. It was gorgeous. So I had the whole day to myself. I had no plans, no tickets. Went to see the movie, realized Lincoln Center, pretty... Walked a couple more blocks, saw Zero Dark Thirty, came back, wandered around, and I've been telling people that somewhere there's a library where you can see anything that's ever been on stage. They film it once and save it for posterity. It's in the Lincoln Center in the public arts, in the performing arts library. So you have dance, you have theater, you can watch everything, get all your research done.
Really, literally, everything that's ever...
Allegedly. I didn't have time to go.
You didn't watch them all.
I couldn't watch them all. So I went to see that in...
He will try.
So War...
That's the next trip.
War Horse was playing. It was getting ready to close. So I'm like, all right, I've never seen anything in the actual Lincoln Center Theater in the Vivian Beaumont, so I'm going to go. Got there early, sat down, did a little thing on the Lincoln Center preview, read my little book. And learned about War Horse, which turns out was a children's story meant to explain through the eyes of a horse the horrors of war from both sides. Wow. And only the horse would have no, wouldn't take sides.
Wouldn't know bias.
Wouldn't know bias. So the horse would see the horrors to the English, the horrors to the German, what happens in the middle, how does the horse suffer. And it would help a child connect to the story by being through a horse, which made me hate Steven Spielberg's movie just slightly less.
Okay.
But then to see on this stage of the theater with this gorgeous puppetry, and puppetry does not even begin. It's half costume, half puppets, and it's full-size horses. Mm-hmm. And it's Joey as the young horse. Then it's the horse that he goes to war with, Coco, and him, and the horse, it looked like a real fucking horse. Like, I believed several different times that they had horses. Do not let Aaron see this. Mm-hmm. Horses
no,
die.
Not at all. Not at all, yeah.
Horses die, and they die horribly.
Yeah, not at all.
Oh, my God. It was really well done, but as I was waiting to go in, and I had been walking and walking in the cold, I sat down on a bench inside the theater. I found a little, like, nook. I sat down with my little book reading about War Horse. This lady sits down next to me. We're talking about theater, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I'm going to this theater. And I realized, oh, my God, there's another theater in here. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what's playing there. So she tells me that she's going to see something Chekhov. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm not into Russian plays. So I go up. Well, it's called Sonia and Vanya, something in Spike. So I look. It's Sigourney Weaver, David Hyde Pierce, couple as hot guy, Masha in Spike. Mm-hmm. So I get tickets for Sunday afternoon's performance of that. So War Horse, when it comes on tour, go see it. It's pretty good. Mm. But if you were annoyed
that
by
it. That was here, apparently.
It's coming, yeah.
Right?
I think it's coming in February.
Oh, okay.
Here, and it's on national tour. It is well done. It's meant more for children. Don't take it literally like I did the movie and be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Sonia, Vanya, Sonia, and Masha and Spike.
Now, let's say you don't get the references to Chekhov, and you don't really get when he's talking about the seagull that the girl's going to be named Nina, and I can't remember what Spike's real name was, but it was something from literature also. There's all these little in-jokes. Well, if you don't get those, the play was phenomenal, and it was in their off-Broadway theater, which had like 20 rows. The guy from 30 Rock that plays Jack's secretary was like 2 rows behind me.
Okay.
And Sigourney Weaver was about 2 feet. Like, Sigourney Weaver was to that wall there, like 5 feet away from me. Because I got third row center. I got house seats again. Mm. Don't know how. So I'm sitting there in the center with David Hyde Pierce, hysterical. Parts of it were just heartbreaking, and it was wonderful. And this gorgeous set, I have a picture to share. It was beautiful. And then Matt got us tickets.
What a cool, like, happy accident.
Yeah, we went off Broadway to a church gymnasium, not even lying to you, down in the West Village. And it was the hottest fucking thing in the world because there was no air conditioning in this church basement built in the 1800s. And it was all recent graduates of Carnegie Mellon. They had all graduated in 2011. They all learned instruments. They were from the performing arts program. They played Irish music and Irish instruments. They'd written a few pieces. And this was a story that they had written as sophomores all together, 7 guys and their puppet friend. And it was called The Old Man and the Old Moon, and done through puppets and shadows and lights and Irish music. And they would stop and play instruments and play. It was like a Mumford and Sons do a puppet show.
Okay.
And it was so charming and so, like, just beautiful and wonderful. And it was so imaginative. And we were sweating like pigs by the time it was over because it was all done with, like, Christmas lights and flashlights and torches and everything, with this music going on and these guys just playing their ass off and making drums out of everything. And, like, the castles that you could see in shadow were really, like, corks from all the wine they had drank while they were writing it. And, like, like, they would show the ship. It was fabulous. I saw one more show, but that'll come to you, and I'll talk about that even later. But it was just a magical time. In a church fucking basement off Broadway.
New York City.
We met the guys afterwards, talked to them, because there's only one way out of that gym basement, and we walked with them.
Sure.
They were talking to these little kids that were so enthralled by it. They thought the story was so clever. And they're like, but we don't play instruments. The one guy was like, I learned when I was 18. I learned in college. And he was showing, like, I can play the accordion now. I can play the banjo. And he was saying, it's never too late to learn an instrument. And I'm like, why do people not support the arts? Like, here, I mean, these are all college graduates that got together and did this thing. And it was closing the next night. I was so sad to hear it was closing the next night. Mm. Might go to Broadway. Who knows? But it's called The Old Man and the Old Moon. And they were phenomenal.
And there it is. It's well, Al's entertainment segment.
That's a lot.
There's a lot.
Well done. Well done.
You took half the help. But we gladly gave you that. That's all right.
Absolutely.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking word is Mary Jane. Which I'm pretty sure everyone thinks we're going to be on if we're going to one of those cookies.
What? These snickerdoodles are good.
They're
yummy.
What?
Oh, that's that noise. Did you ever go to, it was called the Golden Goose or the Lucky Gulch down the old strip, and you would walk in and every 15 minutes and go, double, jackpot time is now. And you'd have like the Asian lady standing and go, oh, lucky machine, you play lucky machine, double money right now.
Why we gotta fuck with the Asians again?
We have now, it's all right, we have been, every week, I mean, we had the black people for skiing, and now we got the Asians. Is that
Vegas?
Offensive.
We're drinking honey vodka. Give us a break.
Honey boo boo.
It really doesn't matter.
And these snickerdoodles are good.
Yeah, so they are good.
Thank you, Marty.
I actually wish they had a little bit of Mary Jane in them. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I could hook you up. I know somebody.
Okay, yeah. Now who's Landon?
Oh, we love Landon.
Well, Marty, tell us about him.
Well, he is.
Do it with some enthusiasm if you could, please.
No, I'm just trying to think if there's. I was thinking if you. No,
do
yet,
I know?
And I feel like you do. And I'm trying to think.
I know a Landon, but I doubt seriously listens to this.
I don't know if this is Landon. Is this your first time listening in? Because I was actually going onto Facebook to see if he had it down.
Topper was saying to red light me. I just realized I'm the her in that sentence.
Yes, red light her.
Topper, our love affair is over. No, it's not. If you really want to start when I'm in.
Don't ask you to take off work, though.
Exactly. Don't miss bingo. And last night, I was going to come see you, but I could not stop eating last night.
Oh.
I got home, and I wasn't somewhere near a deli where I could get food to the room. I didn't have a refrigerator to keep like little snacks like I usually do in my hotel room. So I was on a very sensible diet, and I think I actually lost a little weight.
Oh,
and
on
I
your
got
trip?
Home, and I'm like, food. I just couldn't get food in me enough.
No, but you would have enjoyed it. By the way, for those
and
of you,
I, you would have thought I smoked a big thing of Mary Jane, but I didn't.
Drink.
Well done.
But you certainly would have appreciated it. Not only was it a full house. By the way, for those of you wondering, I host co-host a Naughty or Nice Bingo at Apollo's here in Central Phoenix on Monday nights at 9:30.
I hear that's becoming trendy. On
it's Mondays. It's hey, we're having a great time. Nevaeh and I have a great time. Hashtag lucky. But you would have enjoyed it because not only was Jason Carlton, his boyfriend there, Todd, who you may remember from Laundry at Charlie's, was there.
I saw his.
And your protege, Lucas Coatney, was there.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So you would have enjoyed being with us at the Apollos. Maybe next Monday.
He would have eaten with me. Yeah, I could not stop.
I didn't really expect to see you anyway because you were flying home after a lengthy trip. I didn't really expect to see you, but we have a good time. We do enjoy ourselves at the Apollos with Nevaeh McKenzie and myself.
Nah, that's
so
fun.
Our drinking game, it's Mary Jane or any derivative thereof.
Exactly, like, kind of right. Like the F-bomb, however you want to get there. Now, does anybody know what's going on with the gay marriage in Illinois? Because that was the hot... I stayed internet-free until Sunday. I finally decided to hook up to the internet. I wanted to be internet free while I was there.
Okay.
The only time I used it was to buy a ticket to something.
News for gay marriage in Illinois.
I know it was going to the vote last week, and they were very confident that they could get it passed through the legislature. So I just
have not heard a word.
Okay, wasn't sure if anybody knew where that was going.
I hadn't been following that
And then Scott Norton, who is a professional bowler, it turns out that's a thing.
Yes. I've heard, yes, it
they
is.
They have that on TV. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even imagine what's wrong with your life that you're watching bowling on TV. But if you did, this Scott Norton is a homosexual. And he won the PBA title, Professional Bowling Association. It took me like an hour to figure out what the fuck PBA could stand for. And
Pro Bowlers.
They threw the whole thing, and I guess it was pre-taped. I guess it happened like earlier in December, but they played it just last week. I guess there's a reason to tape delay this news, too, because I guess no one keeps abreast of it, so watching a replay.
Oh, that is land. That's exactly the land that I thought it was. All right.
Which one, left or right?
Left. Purple shirt, pink shirt.
Cute as a motherfucker.
Yes.
So anyway, so this guy, so not only did through the entire PBA competition or whatever they call it, contest, gladiator event, they referred to his spouse in the audience, and they kept saying his spouse or his partner.
Wait, who is this? Oh, the bowler.
The bowler, Scott Norton. And so they kept referring to his competitor. I don't know how he self-identifies. They were showing his family and his wife, and they were showing Scott Norton, and they kept calling him the spouse, kept calling him the partner.
Oh.
And then at the end, now here's where we lost a little bit, because he wasn't using a pink ball, but pretty close.
Oh.
And then when he won, okay. And it was all very exciting because he did his thing, and then the other guy got up and missed the one pin. So it was like a one pin victory.
Okay.
If it's so intense.
Tell me if somebody understands what I'm talking about.
I enjoy the bowling.
Okay.
Natalie Cianciola.
Yeah. I used to be good when I was younger.
I cannot believe people would watch it on television.
I was in a league when I was like in sixth grade.
The fact that I found this on YouTube.
No, but who's going to watch?
Natalie Cianciola went to college for bowling. Actually, her college was paid for because she was a bowler. Oh,
Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to take her with this, but let's all go some night just for fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm in.
I just can't believe they would televise it.
I'm horrible, but
right. And I think that's what I would watch. I don't want to watch people bowl well. I'd rather watch people fuck up.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he won. He put his hands in his face and he cried a little bit. And I was like, you know, no one likes. Okay, it's okay to cry. No one likes crybaby. Calm down.
A bowler.
But then full on kiss.
Oh,
what?
On ABC?
Yeah, El Ocho or wherever the hell they play. You know what I mean? I don't know where PBA is.
But yeah, it's El Ocho.
Well, it used to.
Yeah,
I mean,
just about.
If it's almost a sport, it's on El Ocho for those that have seen Dodgeball.
Yeah.
but he full on kissed. Like, no fucking around. It wasn't a handshake. It wasn't a hug. It was an on the lips.
Awesome.
I was like, Buddy, I wonder if Buddy knows about this. I wonder if Buddy knows that they televise bowling.
I almost spit that Honey Boo Boo vodka out of my mouth.
I can't tell you. To me, that was the most shocking part of following the link to the story was like, why are there cameras?
People are going to be asking that in late January when we have them in this studio.
But isn't that fun? So we have bowling on our side.
Go bowling.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I can't imagine something that sounds more heterosexual than bowling.
Bowling and Coors Light.
Coors
Light.
Oh my God! Is the Squawpink Lane still open, Marnie? Over by your house?
Oh yes!
Oh my God!
And there's a Filiberto's right outside.
Oh, there is.
No matter what happens inside, there's a good time going
now,
on. Outside.
There are a lot of potholes between the bowling alley and Filiberto's.
Is that Indian school?
Yeah, you can meet a lot of different women named Mary Jane right in that neighborhood.
Oh, drink up, girls! Atta girl! My God!
Some of them have lighters. Some of them just have brownies.
I'm more of a brownie girl myself.
I do like to get there with butter.
With butter.
And then I'm just going to bore you all with one more thing, because I only get to New York twice a year.
No.
It's called, and it's going to tour. I hope it tours. Please take your children. Please take anyone you like, even remotely.
I'll take Clayton. Sure.
Peter and the Starcatcher. This was on Broadway. It closes on the 20th. Again, I didn't realize it was closing. Yeah. But Peter and the Starcatcher. It was written by Dave Barry, who's a comic strip.
Oh, yeah. Love Dave Barry.
He wrote this set of children books called Peter and the Starcatcher, Peter and the something else. And it's like the origin story of Peter Pan and Captain Hook and how they come to meet and how they get their powers and the whole story. And it was so much fun. You could tell that it was built up a lot with improv theater, that they'd taken the idea and kind of run with it. The nanny sometimes is played by a man with a little bow in his hair, and sometimes it looked like there was a woman that might play him. Peter is this cute kid who I saw in Next to Normal a couple years ago, and he was just heartbreaking as he becomes Peter Pan and everything that happens to him that makes him want to never grow up and never trust adults. And it was so much fucking fun, so much political humor, so
And like, it's traveling? Improv, it's touring?
It should travel because it's closing on the 20th. So I'm hoping that they take this show because it was...
What's it called? Peter
and the Starcatcher. And the little girl that grows up to be Wendy's mom is in it. And how Captain Hook comes about and how they meet the crocodile and all the different shit was... just so cute. And at the end, I went from laughing my ass off and like kicking the seat in front of me laughing to literally like sobbing on the guy next to me's shoulder. I was like, oh, I can't believe it.
I'm a mess.
It reminded me, that's what made me think of Steven Spielberg, because he fucked up the Peter Pan story with that stupid ass Hook movie. Like, he's gotta just retire.
Oh, I gotta tell you.
You just and this is, this to be is done. Where, just quit, Steven.
This is where he's gonna throw something probably at my head, but I love that movie.
Oh, I hate it. With every ounce of my being.
But you and I look at when I do see the movies that you see, we look at them completely differently. I don't look necessarily for all the ins and outs of stuff. Like, I don't dissect it.
Yeah.
I go, and it's solely to...
Yeah, and I thought the movie had not a drop of joy in it.
Well, you know what? when you're looking, it was more about... it's not the whole movie. It's just like the food fight. And the lighthearted... There were just different lighthearted moments in it that, for me... loved it.
But there's just such a beautiful story there.
Sure,
and Robin Williams making an asshole of himself with shaved arms just doesn't cut it for me.
Well, not Jumanji.
Okay. Oh, Robin Williams. So many bad movies.
Yeah, but there was just something about it. And maybe it was just the time and, you know, whatever, and who I watched it with. But it just, I think... Yeah, I enjoy.
And that's one of those that just offended me to the core.
Sure,
just go up to J.M. Barrie and kick him in the nuts because...
Rochambeau.
Offended you to the core.
Doug and I have that thing where at least I wasn't offended by the movie. That's what we'll say about something that I'm like, all right, I did love it, that, but at least I wasn't that movie like offensive.
Okay. Yeah. I do have a movie question for you, oddly, because it was in the previews before when Mom and I went to see Lincoln. And I'm not sure how I feel about it, but my curiosity is... I'm always curious, like, obviously there's a Wizard of Oz. It's a set movie. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows the story. It's 1939. I mean, it's been playing fucking ever. Everybody knows it, right? So now they're doing that. What's it called? Oz, the something of something.
Right. Oh, I just saw a preview for that.
So initially I saw the preview and I'm like, no, really? No,
I can't. Really want to see
so that. Now my cur- but now the curiosity has got the better of me. I want to know where they're going to go with the story. And I don't even like fiction. I've never been that way.
Yeah.
So, but now, based on knowing, and it's not the story that I'm so interested in, I realize, to me, it's sort of reality just from the standpoint of, Wizard of Oz to me is a reality only because I understand so many things about the movie.
Right.
What it took to make it, what it took to produce it, how many years they did it, how many gingham dresses they made for her, how many dogs played Toto, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So it's more of a reality show to me now. Right,
yeah. Right. Here's a reality show called How We Made This
Movie. How We Made This Movie.
But so, it's based on a series of books. It's based on a series.
Was that written prior?
Oh, years prior. Years
okay,
prior.
So it
and
is a series.
And there's all kinds of books. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so this isn't something new.
Son of a Witch.
Son of a Witch. That's the new ones. Gregory Maguire.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
what Wicked is based off that. And what they do is he takes the Frank L. Baum, I think it's Frank Baum's story.
Baum.
Takes his stories and just turns them on their ear and shows you, here's how she became the witch, because Frank Baum never took the story from the Wicked Witch's point of view.
But it doesn't have anything to do with Oz. It's not the same kind of a thing.
It does. It's based on the same idea of this
turning
Oz
it a little bit.
But it's kind of
like
when you start like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. Mm. He takes a different approach to how did Batman become Batman. And now if you saw the new one, maybe how did Robin become Robin or how did Nighthawk become Nighthawk? Like, how do we get to, you know what I mean? Like,
got it.
And I love little origin stories. Like,
no, like Wicked was so fun.
But Wicked is so Oz fun because, cool. Right, you get like maybe you take the Wicked Witch's point of view and maybe she's misunderstood. Maybe the wizard is the bad guy. Right, so it's kind of fun. And that was this Peter and the Starcatcher was, I'll give away one little part. When Captain Hook, but he's not Captain Hook, he's called Blackstache. When Blackstache is like trying to be evil and he's about to defeat somebody and the guy's like, okay, I'll just go home. And he's like, no! You have to be a hero. You have to save everyone. And he's like, well, I don't want to. I'm done. I'm sick of this story. I want to go home with my daughter. And he's like, I can't be a villain if I don't have a hero to fight. Like, I'm not a bad guy if there's not a good guy.
Okay.
So then he's all pissed off and he spends the next like half of the play like, I will find a hero. Someone must rescue people and do good things so I can be bad. And it was just kind of, it was such a funny thing for him to
We looked for that on this show, too. I didn't know if you realized that.
But if you if you remember from the best scene in the Dark Knight with Heath Ledger, when he's hanging upside down and Batman is like, I want to kill you. And he's like, no, we can't kill each other.
We have nothing to live for.
And it really, it's that, and I can't even paraphrase. Remember how fantastic that scene was with Heath Ledger hanging upside down? Like, didn't see it. Oh, no. Oh, dear Jesus. This is why you like Hook.
I live, can I tell you?
Because you watch shit movies. They're great movies
I live to annoy the shit out of you at this. And I'm going to tell you something. Amelie made me want to slit my wrists. How do you feel about that?
Which one did?
Amelie.
I still don't understand why. It was so charming.
I've never heard of it. What is it?
I wanted to see it.
Maybe good intentions. It's because of who you're watching something
like
with.
Like the happiest love story ever.
It was one of the worst times of my life. Okay. Maybe it's because you're sitting there like,
The first time I ever saw As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson, I hated it. I thought it was just a terrible movie.
And then I went back
and saw it, and I'm like, oh, I must have been in a really bad mood that day. Because this is a good movie. Yeah. So it does happen.
Okay.
Amelie, though? Like, that's one of the happiest fucking movies I've ever seen.
Well, you just, no.
All right.
No,
bye, Harrison.
Good night, Harrison.
Good night. So, I honest to God, that's all I have. That's all I've seen. That's all I've done. That's all I know. It's every documentary, movie, Broadway show.
That's all.
Broadway
that's
show,
it.
Church the basement. End.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
I found love in a hopeless
basement.
Place.
That's my favorite.
We're still drinking because that's what we do on the second hour. We started.
And no Mary J. in New York. Never. I didn't even smell it.
Really?
I didn't even smell it.
Shocking.
You know what I mean? My trip to California, I was like, God, is a skunk following me? You know what I mean? Because there was.
God bless California.
There was medical marijuana
Californians.
Around. Every fucking time.
You know where else there's a lot of medical, or Colorado. Not even medical, but just straight legal? Colorado.
That's why you were enjoying it on a ski lift.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's technically legal yet.
No, it did. It went in.
But it is.
Right. Last Tuesday. It went into effect last Tuesday.
Then we were. My mom's going, how do you buy this exactly? I mean, she just like really didn't get it.
Yeah.
It was cute.
What's the Craig's rules? List. You can have it, you can smoke it, but you can't sell it
you
or
can't
buy it.
Have it. You can't have enough on your possession or any materials that would exhibit the intent to sell.
Are you talking about Mary Jane?
Scales. Apparently scales or websites.
And there's an amount, and I don't know what the amount is, but there's an amount, your personal use.
More than a doobie.
If you're stacking bricks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you probably have bad intentions.
Or you're rolling open the doors to a bakery. Right. Maybe you've got more than you need.
Or Storage Wars has opened a big and all of a sudden you're there.
But you could have a bakery, I bet, because now it's legal to sell for recreational. So
I feel that there's someone who could answer that better about the bakery, and she knows who she is, so we'll just wait for a response in the chat room.
We will come back with Marnie and her story and the rest of this hour of the drinking game, which, by the way, is Mary Jane or a derivative thereof, moments from now on Q-Talk America.
And now, the rest of the story.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Listening to Q Talk Arizona.
Hi, it's Clayton McKee from Q Talk America. Would you like to receive 50% off your next purchase of an adult DVD, adventurous toy, or maybe even a new lube you've heard about and wanted to try? Well, now you can. Check out AdamMail.com and you can receive 50% off just about any item. In addition to that great savings, AdamMail.com will also throw in 3 free all-male DVDs that's sure to get you in the mood. And they'll even throw in free shipping. All you have to do to take advantage of this special offer is go to AdamMail.com and use coupon code QTALK1. That's QTALK1. When you do, you'll get all 3 DVDs and free shipping for your entire order. Remember, that's AdamMail.com.
Carl. Same song.
If you think it sucked so far.
Oh, no, we don't need to do that again. Stop that. Carl. I miss Carl.
I do too.
Oh, my God.
Well, I kill people and I eat hands. That's two things.
I will not apologize for art.
Would you believe? Strawberry milkshake. What's the other one? Boat nectar.
Or would you believe the lovely couple in Suite 2B?
They were eating all the dinner rolls.
What's that called? Llamas? What's
llamas it? With hats.
Llamas with hats. Google llamas with hats and watch it if you haven't.
Carl!
It's a good...
Carl! Why do you think I'm a girl? Well, mostly that hat.
Do I know you? Yeah. What?
We've been friends for 2 years.
What's happening?
All right.
Marty, what you got? You got printed materials.
Oddly piggybacking off of Mary Jane.
Oh.
Oh.
Thank you for that.
Totally different than barebacking off of Mary Jane. Totally different.
Ooh, Jesus, yes.
I think so.
I'm just throwing that out. Can I have a cookie?
Yeah.
No, not those. Give me those. I got to get rid of those.
These?
Yeah, either one.
Chocolate.
I don't give a shit.
Funny.
Here. Go, Marnie.
Well, there was a CNN contributor who wrote an article, marijuana use is too risky a choice.
Oh, it is?
It's too risky a choice.
Too risky.
Okay.
I thought that it was interesting, and I thought I'd get your input. Excellent reasons to avoid marijuana, apparently. Okay. There are many of them.
Reasons to avoid.
It damages brain development in young people.
Mm.
Heavy users become socially isolated and perform worse in work, in school and at work.
Hmm.
The marijuana smoke harms the lungs. A growing body of evidence suggests that marijuana can trigger psychotic symptoms that otherwise would have remained latent. Yes? No? Do you agree? Disagree?
I think the lung thing, it's kind of like the cigars aren't as bad for your lungs as cigarettes are because...
You inhale like as deep?
You smoke less of them. Like you have a cigar, you don't smoke a pack of cigarettes. Like there's different things about quantity and the one thing about... Mary Jane is that it doesn't have a filter. So mm-hmm. You don't know who grew it. You don't know how they did it. A lot of times you are smoking
chemicals.
Resin, which is really the tar. So there could be some lung issues. I mean,
you're not lining up for lung cancer.
Not the shit that Philip Morris is stacked
against.
It would take so long.
Smoking occasionally.
Right. And then, of course,
maybe
when
like,
we get to excess, when anything in excess, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if it's alcohol, if it's food, if it's sugar, if it's
cookies.
Says the monster. I think it's mayonnaise, like just whatever you want. And once you get to excess, once you get to excess, then you're in trouble and probably will run into that. Psychotic episodes that heretofore would not come to the front, or however you're saying that. That's a long way to say that sentence. That's called alcohol. How many people do you know that become?
Oh my God!
Screaming
way
psychotic.
More. Stop talking about me from last week. Come on.
We have friends that we
starting
know that like
fights, crying in places.
Way,
some people throw New
way
Year's
way
Eve parties.
More.
Yeah. That was more house fires than it was any other kind of problem. But I mean, think of all the things you've seen with alcohol, and then you go to a pot smoker, and they're just
not
sitting
crazy.
There, or they're really enjoying the shit out of Overboard with Goldie Hawn. You know what I mean? Like
seriously, how can you?
I'm not a bitch.
Yeah,
but the being less productive at work, school, etc. Yeah, that shit makes you lazy unless you're skiing, when it tends to make you really good.
It's exhilarating. And sometimes you really can't find your zone.
Sometimes you really can just find the zone.
I quit smoking weed in college because after a while, and
briefly, it's going to be my assumption.
Because I would sit around with my friends and smoke, and I realized this sucks. This isn't fun anymore because I was getting like weird in my head, like, oh my God, she's staring at me funny. Oh my God, he thinks I'm an idiot.
Whenever the parent,
so I started being paranoid and weird, and I quit smoking it for a really long time. And then now I do it occasionally, and I'm like good at things, and I'm funny, and I'm.
Do you think you're good at things?
I think so.
If you make it down the bottom of the mountain alive, you were good at skiing. Like that's your main clue.
Apparently, while you were skiing, you did a little smoke, and you thought you could do blacks.
I did a couple blacks actually.
Okay. That could all be taken very wrong, and that was back in the day. So we knew about that a couple weeks ago.
I don't want to even talk about what Quentin Tarantino would call that. Yeah. And if
she did blacks.
Spike Lee's piss.
Oh my God. If you watch the newer version of Reefer Madness from like 5 or 6 years ago with that Campbell kid, who's I can't remember what his name is, Nev Campbell's brother, who's adorable.
Tevin?
No.
Oh.
Close though. But anyways, it's called, it's a newer version of Reefer Madness, and it is one of the funniest fucking things. So Anna Gasteyer just steals that movie away from everybody. Steven Weber.
Well, this this is just to point out, is from a gentleman named probably loosely David Frum.
Why do we know David Frum?
I don't, do I?
Yeah, CNN contributor, kind of greasy, kind of dark hair, Republican asshole.
Sure, totally.
Google his picture.
Yeah, because
I'll do it
He was a special assistant to George W. Bush. If that tells you anything, but it talks about the. It says it's possible to imagine a marijuana rule that tries to respond precisely to such these risk factors that he listed. It might say you shouldn't use marijuana until you're over 25 or after your brain has ceased to develop, whichever comes from. Oh, yeah, greasy bastard. I get it. You shouldn't use marijuana if you are predisposed to certain mental illnesses, most of which we can't yet diagnose in advance. Be aware that about 1/6 of users will become chronically dependent on marijuana.
And chronically.
As a result, will suffer a serious degradation of life outcomes.
Now,
I thought that was interesting.
And honest to God, I really hope this guy has never had a cocktail in his life.
Look at what Landon has in the chat.
I know, she's such a loser, fucking mind. How many blacks?
How many blacks? God bless you, Landon. That's fantastic.
Landon, by the way, is black, if anyone wants to know that.
And I love
adorable.
It.
Adorable.
And Mama Bear says not smoking the right weed, kids.
No. But I mean, really, isn't that... I thought that was really interesting when I read that today. Just like, what? Who is
I mean,
what
I
are
can
these
just,
fucking people?
I can just tell you from the class of 1985 that most of the Honor Society was stoned out of their minds.
Well, now, I have seen... okay.
I can't say what high school.
Back in the day, and it wasn't me, but maybe it was, in smoking marijuana, Mary Jane.
Yeah, Mary Jane.
Drink.
It...
Oh, you're almost out.
Oh, here, I'll make you another one.
Oh.
Wait.
Well, thanks.
Oh, well, right.
I do declare.
Continue your topic.
You know, we smoked, who cares? You just kind of became, you know, whatever, complacent. But there were people that I saw that freaked the fuck out. And all that shit was laced. I mean, it wasn't about it being Mary
all
Jane.
Natural.
Just like weed from a plant that you can pick and smoke.
Right. You knew. There was specifically
or
one time.
Or the way it was grown.
There was specifically one time that we went up to a cabin, like a little cabin party, and myself and this other person, we were smoking. Everything is fine. We're having a great time.
I can't imagine you. I just cannot imagine you stoned. I mean, I've never been, and I know a lot of people who have been. I can't see Marnie Ryer stoned.
I sit in a little everything. Nothing moves, and I sit in a rocking chair. There's this lovely rocking chair. It's super comfortable. It doesn't creak.
Okay.
In my brain.
Oh.
The me that's here right now.
Right.
And people will ask me a question, is the sky blue?
Yes,
and I sit there and I'm like, so trying to answer that question. And in the rocking chair, I'm like, hey, stupid motherfucker, answer the question. You know, like I'm tapping on my own brain.
Right.
Go ahead. No. An hour later, I'm like, yes. And people are staring at me like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
You're
like, well, you asked me a question.
Yeah, but it takes me another hour to say that part, you know. Thank you.
I was trying to envision her stoned. I just can't.
No, but this what I was getting at is that you have these myself and this other person who were smoking, and our friend was taken off and went off with somebody else who was smoking, and she lost it. Like she wigged the fuck out, and it wasn't because it was marijuana. That shit was laced. I mean,
which is unfair.
Right. You always have to know where you're getting it.
Where you're getting it, et cetera.
I'm not even, that's coming from, I would even venture to guess that it's an objective point of view. I'm saying I understand that it's a natural growing substance, and I get that. And there's a lot of shit that grows out there.
Right.
I get that, and that's fine. But that's unfair. If somebody's going to cut it and lace it with something else that is a hallucinogenic or will fuck you up, that's not fair.
Right.
And nobody, if your first sample or first take of a hit of Mary is going to be, I would assume that you would want it, the best thing to be just natural, found it in the woods, and it was all natural, nobody touched it. You know, it grew out of cow shit or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Manure, I think is what they call it.
That's going to be my assumption. I don't know anything. But I would think, I'm going back to it, just the natural thing, because I don't believe it.
I just love all the people that get up on the cross about it, but they're the first ones to order a drink. And I'm like, so much more harmful to you.
Dangerous.
In every single way, and brings out almost all the bad characteristics of your personality.
You're right.
Guilty.
And, yeah, it makes everyone aggressive.
Been there, done that.
It makes everyone aggressive, but it's socially acceptable.
By the way, did you notice that I arranged all the cookies neatly on this tray?
Oh, my God, that's so
beautiful.
Pleasing.
I did that.
Oh, God, yeah. That's fantastic.
I thought he was trying to spell help in the cookies. I'm not even sure what
Oh, I might be. I wonder if I could try that.
Well, so I thought that was interesting. And because of the Mary Jane discussion, I thought we should go there. The only other thing, well, there are a few, but.
Go.
The January holidays. Are you guys familiar with January holidays?
Well, I know there's the MLK coming.
MLK.
Elvis's birthday is today.
Absolutely. Oh, Elvis's birthday. Elvis. I saw that picture.
Well, it says it's a pretty show-offy month when it comes to national holidays.
Oh, do tell.
National holidays.
Is Katie going to take any days off?
Not paid holidays.
I think she's going to take all of them. Right.
Two more times. Two more ski trips.
Yeah.
With blacks?
They don't coincide with this show.
I love Very good. Yeah. Thank you. We were starting to wonder.
Please note the difference between national holidays and paid holidays.
So there are 19,
in January?
In January. I believe there are 19, 18.
My God.
January 3rd.
Yeah.
Damn it, we just missed it.
Sorry.
Fruitcake Toss Day.
Did he toss
that
out the shit that somebody handed to you?
That's not a national holiday.
National?
In the United States?
It's not a, I think
not
I
a
think
holiday.
Where you
it's just the, a day.
A national holiday is what they're calling it.
All right.
So
all right.
Time to dispose of that leaden slab of candied Christmas cake that Aunt Harriet brought you. So apparently.
Soaked in rum, if made correctly.
The bottom of that cake, if it all just settles at the bottom, is slice off that last half inch and just eat that.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right.
So there's that one. Yesterday. Just missed it.
Just
of course, that's
it.
Maybe why I thought today was yesterday.
The 7th, yeah.
It's National Old Rock Day.
That's old rock? Mm-hmm. Now, music or just a rock?
No, a rock. Actual hard thing, like on the ground.
Okay.
Yep, the entire purpose of this holiday is to celebrate the everyday stones, pebbles, and makeshift paperweights in your lives. Are you kidding me?
Wow. Are these people?
Now,
who
was
comes
that actually,
up with this shit?
Was that passed by Congress or was that passed by a state like New Hampshire?
Was
or something?
It passed by somebody that was stoned?
It's
going to be my guess.
I don't even
on
think
Mary
New Hampshire
Jane.
Is that
Jane?
Bad, actually.
Well, aren't they the Granite State? Who's the Granite State? That's what made me think of it.
Nice.
Well, No. When is it?
Today.
When
we go home.
Oh, hell's yes.
When we go home.
Okay. Let's have a holiday.
It should be National Bubble Bath Day.
Boom.
Oh, I'm in.
No one's quite sure how or why it started, but no one cares either. So, who doesn't love an excuse?
See, National Rock Day, we're like fucking idiots. Yeah. National Bath Day,
New Hampshire. New Hampshire is the Granite State.
That's right.
Friday the 11th is Human Trafficking Awareness Day.
Don't look at me. Why are you looking at me?
By the way, I'm glad you have that. I do not. January 10th. Would be Houseplant Appreciation Day.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
So, please,
manure,
take care.
Hanging plants, as I'd call it, manure at eye level.
Right. Now, oddly.
I have one.
Oddly, the thing about Houseplant Appreciation Day on January 10th, it shares a holiday with Peculiar People Day, and those are the people that are celebrating Houseplant
Day.
Exactly.
Appreciation Day. So that has
maybe
to be.
Maybe I'll plant a plant that day.
Maybe.
And count myself among the peculiar people.
Well,
what
I
plant will
do.
You be planting, Katie?
Perhaps a small Mary Jane.
Some bud. Look
in my closet with
like
some
it.
grow lamps and aluminum foil.
What do you think?
I don't know how it happens.
I don't know that I believe this one. I don't know that I believe it at all. January 13th is international. What do you think it might be?
13th? International.
International. And it's and I'm
mean,
not sure that I'm sold on this.
Conspiracy theory day?
Maybe.
Maybe.
International Skeptics Day.
Oh
my God. How
By the way,
so cool?
In case you miss it, on January 13th, they apparently also celebrated October 13th.
Oh, shut up.
People are so skeptical of it on the 13th of January.
One more try.
Fuck it. Let's try it again.
Let's make sure.
I'm getting excited because we're coming up on the 15th, which is next Tuesday.
Absolutely.
We might have to celebrate something next Tuesday.
Well, no, sadly. Because
there's nothing.
Well, there's January 14th, which would be a day for me. And it would irritate the shit out of all of you, including my girlfriend, Erin.
It's your anniversary?
Dress up your pet day.
Now I know they're made up. She's just looking for... She just gave us a bunch of bullshit
so she could dress up her pet next Monday. Look at that.
So that holiday sounds... Oh, Jesus.
Just because you took the picture doesn't make me believe it.
They're not my dogs. I didn't steal them.
Allegedly,
are you ready? Wait, you know what I found?
Go ahead.
It's National Glaucoma Awareness Month.
Oh,
isn't that funny?
Isn't that something? Well, that's all month.
For Mary Jane.
Yeah. I like that.
And it's also Cervical Health Awareness Month, which I think I'm going to go home and be aware of my cervix.
In your bubble bath.
I can find one. Yes. Where do I? No.
You
I
don't have one.
Okay, just checking. I have a lot of stuff in my shop.
We can pretend on the 15th that it's the 16th. Okay. Or like me, you know, the 7th, 8th, whatever. But, National Nothing Day. Who comes up with this shit?
That's, that's not a real thing, damn it.
Yeah, I don't know. Where you're getting this list from somewhere.
She has the list.
I do.
Just because it's on the web doesn't mean it's real.
This is real.
Go to Wikipedia. What do they say?
Created 40 years ago by newspaper man Harold Pullman Coffin. Well, of course it's nothing.
Pullman Coffin.
This is a day in which you can get away with contributing absolutely zippo to the world around you. Suggested activities, staring into space. Well, that would be the Mary Jane. Rearranging your sock drawer and reading up on Kim Kardashian.
But all of those are Mary Jane activities.
January 17th, ditch your New Year's resolutions day.
That sounds about right.
January 18th is Thesaurus Day because you've ditched your resolutions. You need to become smarter, apparently.
I do love a good thesaurus.
I do, too.
I don't mind that.
I can read that like a novel.
I like
and
it.
Or
a
book. And I love the whole online. Nicely done. Nicely done.
I enjoyed that, too.
Now, how many of you enjoy popcorn?
Who does?
Is it Mama Bear's special butter popcorn?
Is there flavored
one? If we can have Mama Bear's popcorn, that could happen. Well, I'll go see Oz, apparently. But
what?
It's National Popcorn Day.
What day
I'm
is
in
that?
For that.
January 19th. January 19th. That's a big deal.
Okay, so we still got the 22nd and 29th.
Well, now the 20th.
All right.
The 20th is Penguin Awareness Day.
Penguins.
Is that something really? Really? What?
I haven't believed any of these were real. So
right.
Penguin Awareness
are you
didn't
reading
take me any further.
Is this the Onion that you're reading?
No.
It's real.
No.
Because I was going to pull some stories out of that this week, and I decided to let you all off the hook.
I know. I appreciate that. This is not, though.
Right.
Crazy January holidays. Squirrel Appreciation Day is January 21st.
I mean, we got a whole arc to go through, and there's only
yes,
you.
Yes,
I mean,
rodents, and true, they like to ransack your backyard. But according to North Carolina Wildlife Rehabilitator, Christy McCown, who founded this special day in 2001. We've been celebrating for 12 years.
Yeah.
I'm sad
there's
I've
a
missed
lot.
It all
I know,
this time.
I know.
It's a shame.
I'm going to have to
the
get
gifts, the cards that were missed. Hallmark has really missed
an occasion.
They're
swinging
a
miss.
Number
the e-cards are really fucking
they
with
tend
them.
To live alone, just so you know about
squirrels.
They cannot burp. They don't like peppermint. And some even play hacky sack. How should we celebrate their special day? We should go nuts.
I have to go to Sarah Jessica Parker on this one.
Okay.
I stepped on your joke. I'm sorry.
No, please. It doesn't matter. It just made me laugh.
They're rats with better costumes.
Mm. I was going to suggest maybe traps for roof rats.
Well, apparently don't put peppermint in
there.
Because they don't like it. It'll measure your feet day, January 23rd.
Jesus Christ. When's measure your dick day?
January 24th.
Every day.
Nope. 24th is Beer Can Appreciation Day.
Boom. Same thing.
I'm in.
28th. Do we have the 28th? When is it?
The 28th is a Monday.
Damn.
That's the night Drag Race starts up again.
Oh, good call. Oh, yeah, of course it is.
I'll be at bingo.
And we'll be quiet. National Kazoo Day.
Oh.
Yes. Kazoos are on tap for bingo.
And the last two, January 30th, National Inane Answering Machine Message Day.
Okay, stop it. Nobody even has those anymore.
Well, your voicemail, let's just say.
Okay.
Okay.
And last but not least, January 31st, Backward Day.
And that's Sadie Hawkins Day?
We're supposed to dance with other people? I don't understand.
This is the month with the most. Is that what the whole thing is?
We have lost everybody in the chat
January
room.
Mama Bear just going to town.
She's stoned.
Yeah.
Get it, Mama Bear.
I'm just, you know, there is so much stupid shit that you can find. National holidays. I don't know. It was too much for me, and I thought, I need to share this with you guys because I had to see it. Well, because I had to see it.
I like it.
Thank you, Katie June.
Yes, Marnie.
What day is self-validation day?
Yeah.
Today.
Today. It's a newly invented January holiday, giving them more.
A national one.
It's the 8th.
I would just like to update everyone who I was rude to a few months ago.
Wait a minute. We've been on for 9 months.
All right.
Because
we'll go with November.
Measuring their feet? I don't get it.
We were all making a joke about when is inauguration day. Well, your inauguration day this year falls on the a Sunday. So he will be inaugurated on the 20th, reaffirmed on the 21st.
Wow. And we were, weren't we saying the 20th?
Because that is inaugural day, but they don't do it on a Sunday because of God.
Oh.
Whatever.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. So very
should
fun.
Be on your national fucking holiday calendar.
No.
It's on mine. Inauguration day.
No, Inauguration Day. It talks about Inauguration Day.
It's not a national holiday.
That's not a crazy one.
Now, I want
unless
to,
George W. Bush is being inaugurated. Now that's fucking insane.
The funny thing is, though, and I'm not sure, this is not, I know it's not on your ass backwards calendar, but the 21st is Martin Luther King Day this year, right. Which makes it another federal holiday. So will they have him sworn in on Martin Luther King Day?
Or because it's
a federal holiday, will they bump it one more day?
I bet you they'll bump it another day.
Will it be the 22nd? So we have to find.
That's
it. So they're actually. So to everyone who I made fun of for asking the question when is Inauguration Day, my apologies to you. It is still up in the air.
No one knows.
Damn it. Yes.
There is that.
So fantastic.
Oh, well, wow.
That's all. The end. The end.
Oh, I always plan to bring in lightning things to this hour of the show, but I just, I don't for some reason. I need a full production staff, or I need to figure out a way to quit my day job so I can do nothing but focus on this show every day.
That'd be fun. That would be fun.
Well, yeah. I always have Tuesdays off, so that, I mean.
Well, I normally do, but I spent today programming items into a menu for a restaurant that I have to go back to that's doing a grand opening Monday, so. I have
exciting.
To be prepared for, for all that. Yeah, so that's, you know, work does come because that pays the bills.
Right.
So
well, and that's just it. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I'm doing, and I just see last minute, and I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, just stupid, but that way, you know.
It fills some time.
It does. The only other, thank God, because last week, seriously, 2 weeks ago. what about, and this is something I, as far as going into the third hour, doing whatever, but talking about dreams. I just was curious about dreams. Totally, just as far as remembering them, you know, all
I can
that
form,
kind of stuff.
I will form that as in the form of a question.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm sure we can.
I will jeopardy that shit for you.
I like it.
I like it.
Oh Christ! All right, into second hour. It's the show with Clayton McKee. I'm here with Katie, Marnie, and Al. We're getting ready to go into hour three, and that means thoughtful vulgarity. And it's where you slightly get a little lit or toked up, depending on how you listen at home.
However you self-identify.
We are right. Laura's pretty. She's doing a good job, and Laura's going to work on a little something for me. Her goal is to tell me to get Joel more.
Oh,
I was going to say in my face, but anyway.
Well, that didn't sound right. Whoa.
It's all right.
It's
we care. We'll be back on the other side of the 9 o'clock hour with final hour of three on this Tuesday night. It's the show with Clayton McKee. Thank you for being here. We'll be back moments from now. It's Q Talk America and the show live on a Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.